Live from the Toad Hop Network studios
in Hollywood,
this
is the ToadHopNetwork.com.
A place of our own without a lot of parents bearing down our backs.
Radio worth watching.
And here we go.
Hello, Schmoville. Well, what an interesting show we have tonight for a lot of reasons. And there's big rematch talk where it's hard to have a rematch when someone's not here, Ken Knapsack.
That's an empty seat over there.
That is an empty
staring
seat.
At it.
Yeah, and you know what that, you know what that means?
Curious.
You know what I smell? Chicken.
Chicken?
I smell chicken, and what I also smell is the fact that it's someone who has notoriously been late throughout her career as a person. Bonnie Somerville is not here yet. She's on her way. She's late. So, Schmoville, go ahead and tweet her, "Hey, Bon Somerville, why are you late again?"
That sounds like the first salvo of this fight.
That's gunshots. Guys, cool show tonight. We are going to be talking to Kellen Coleman from The Office and from The Newsroom.
And Casadega,
the movie coming out. That's absolutely right. As well as Roy Abramson from the strange film called
Escape from Tomorrow,
which I just watched today.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to talk to him about it because I'm so curious how they were able to do this movie at Disney, the way Disney World, nonetheless, the superior of the Disney parks.
It really was.
So I'm looking forward to talking to him about that. Then at 9:30, when Bonnie, if she ever shows up, we're going to do the Q&A with her. And what I have agreed to was that I will play the role of Josh McCougar during that segment.
Okay.
Ken will be sitting in my seat. I will be live tweeting in the background, not able to say anything and let Bonnie have her say.
Yeah.
But I want to introduce our guest who is with us today. Will be with us not only for the news, and we can talk to him about what he's doing, as well as he's going to be talking to Kellen Coleman as well, because he's a fan of The Newsroom and a buddy of ours. We have done his show that he produces, Screen Junkies, on Break Media. He's a really funny guy. It is not Kevin Smith. It is Andy Signore. Oh. I know you're...
Wow, it's not Kevin Smith. Thank you for that.
A wonderful
intro. Really big letdown.
Welcome to the show, Andy.
So,
no.
I'm excited to be here. I love you guys. This is so fun for me. Thank you.
Yeah, we're happy to have you, man, for a lot of different reasons. One, because we're going to talk to you about all the great stuff that's been going on with Break and not only Screen Junkies, but with Honest Trailers and just everything that you guys are doing over there. It's really, as a film fan, not even somebody who's doing this for my job, I love going to your site and watching your content. So,
wow, you're just saying that because I'm sitting here.
That's absolutely right. I absolutely would watch it. I do watch it. I've gotten people hooked on Honest Trailers. It's a good thing. And now you got this prank thing. But I want to talk to you about something you said to me right before we started, and that is that you almost got arrested today.
I have the photos to prove it. I'm director of programming at Break.com is our main site. We just merged, actually. I can talk about that later. But we shoot with this fellow named Kevin Bruick for our YouTube channel, Break.
Yeah.
We do a bunch of fun pranks. We also worked with a guy named Roman Atwood, who's very popular on YouTube.
Yeah, definitely.
But here we are, almost getting arrested. We did a prank today.
Okay.
We did a prank with Kevin where we did Ghost in Compton, where we had him in a ghost outfit that looked a little clannish, and he was in Compton scaring people around the corner. Little did Kevin know that we had three ringers, very large African-Americans, who walked in and were our marks, who Kevin had no idea.
So you were pranking your prank.
And we pranked him. Roman did.
Yeah.
And they came out with baseball bats, and it basically ended with him saying, "You better take that Klan outfit out. You know, not only that, take it all off." And Kevin bought it so bad that he ended up being his underwear on the middle of Compton.
Die Hard 3.
It was amazing. And
wow.
So it was such a spectacle that the Inglewood police did come, cited me. I now need to, I apparently have a misdemeanor now.
Good. You know what that means?
I made it, right?
Notice to appear?
Yeah, that means success. Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy. It was a very exciting day. I'm happy to be here, though.
Awesome. Can't wait. So, we've had Hal Rudnick on the show a couple times.
Yeah,
now we finally
we
get Andy
Hal.
In here. Andy knows his shit when it comes to movies. And he's very opinionated, just like me. So we're going to be able to talk to him about some of the stories that are going around. And, oh, yeah, by the way, speaking of being opinionated, tomorrow I'm going to be on AMC Movie Talk with John Campia, which I'm very excited about as well. So make sure that'll be 11 a.m. tomorrow. You can watch that live stream. Would love Schmoville support. All right. Comic book movie. Movie.com, which is a site that we love. They love us. We are going to this segment from 8 to 8:30 is going to be sponsored by them. And what about talking about the news, the latest movie stories? We have the pit boss himself, Ken Knapsack. Johnny Ice, are you ready, my friend?
I'm Ken Apsok, and these are your Schmozno headlines brought to you by Magic Hat Brewing Company. Harrison Ford, best known for his roles in Sabrina, 410 from Navarone, and as Beach Patrol Cop in Mod Squad, confirmed this week that he has been speaking to director Ridley Scott about returning to the role of Deckard in the still-in-development sequel to Blade Runner. Ford told IGN that he and Scott had been, quote, chatting about a return to the role. Ford also said, quote, I'm not there to generate nostalgic moments. I'm there to do a job of work, before adding, now excuse me, has anyone seen my Indiana Solo whip? The film's script is being worked on by Green Lantern writer Michael Green, based on a draft by original Blade Runner scribe Hampton Fancher. No release date yet, as Scott is busy shooting Exodus, starring Christian Bale as the first Moses ever to scream at the extras. And speaking of Episode 7, George Lucas' son Jet, who appeared in Revenge of the Sith, as a young Padawan who fights tennis balls on sticks that his dad told him to pretend were clone troopers, told a reporter for Flicks in the City that Lucas is serving as a creative consultant to J.J. Abrams, adding that he talks to Abrams daily, answering questions a director might have about the Star Wars universe. For example, hey, Master George, sir, what are midichlorians? Well, J.J., they're complete bullshit. Jet went on to brag that his father had actually been working on the continuation of the Star Wars franchise for about a year before the big sale to Disney, and that he has given Abrams guidelines for the next film, so it explains why the entire second act will be about Jar Jar Binks' grandson, Gleep Glop, opening up an intergalactic comedy club called Used to Be Laughing. Casting news, it isn't actually a Twitter rumor. Peter Dinklage, busy filming The Purple Wedding to season 4 of Game of Thrones, has been given the lead role in a currently untitled Andrew Dodge-penned R-rated comedy for Paramount Pictures. The movie is about a man who goes around telling people he is a real leprechaun. One possible title, The Scott Conn Story. Dinklage will next appear as Bolivar Trask in X-Men Days of Future Past. Earlier this week, our friend of Badass Digest, Devin Faraci, reported that a sequel to the 1933 classic King Kong is in the works, not the 1976 film, nor Peter Jackson's 12-hour and 42-minute 2005 epic. Neil Marshall will direct and co-write the adaptation of the 2004 graphic novel Kong, King of Skull Island, which picks up some 25 years after the events of the 1933 film. And this ignores the sequel, Son of Kong. How dare you, sir? Just which studio will be behind the project is undetermined, as Universal doesn't quite have all the rights to King Kong, despite what anyone driving the studio tour tram will tell you. Full-length trailer for the much-anticipated David O. Russell film American Hustle was released this week, but showed no footage of the director fist-fighting George Clooney, so I didn't watch it. Last week, we reported that Simon Kinberg is rewriting the Fantastic Four reboot for director Josh Trank. Now, this week, we have the juicy casting rumors. Michael B. Jordan has long been rumored as a possible contender for the Human Torch, but this week, the internet is collectively saying that actors Jack O'Connell, Miles Teller, and everyone's favorite Game of Thrones bastard Kit Harington are up for the role of Mr. Fantastic himself, Reed Richards. And the role of Sue Storm is down to Kate Mara, Margot Robbie, and Saoirse Ronan, whose name looks like a ferret just pooped on my keyboard. No word on who is up for the role of The Thing, but the producers are hoping John Hamm's penis is available. And finally, this week, Michael Bay said in an interview that one of his fantasies is to direct a horror film, to which the interviewer then quietly handed him a printout of his IMDb credits. I'm Ken Apsok, and those were your Schmozno headlines, brought to you by Magic Hat Brewing Company. Nice. For more news, be sure to head to Schmozno.com for reviews, news, and clues.
All right, I think you hit it with the Michael Bay. I don't really talk about that disaster. Let's start with this Fantastic Four thing, Andy.
They're going young.
Yeah, going young.
Why are they going so young?
Maybe because they're hoping that they can stretch it out.
Twilight, they're like, let's go for the younger crowd.
No, but the difference with the Twilight thing, though, is like the rumors that they have there with Ronan and Michael B. Jordan. You're talking about good actors as opposed to frowning people. So I think that, you know, they're looking for at least quality. I think that's to be hopeful for. By the way, joining us now is our editor-in-chief, Mark Riley.
Hello, everybody.
A.k.a. Yodi. Yodi,
yes.
So Fantastic Four, though, Andy. Like,
who's Margot Robbie? Who's that?
I don't know who that is. Do we know?
Does anyone know who that is?
It was just a name on the internet.
Just a name on the
Ronan,
internet.
I know. Lovely. Yeah,
Michael B. Jordan.
Like, yeah, I don't know that. I don't know.
But then we got the kid.
Rob Stark. He's too short.
No, John
he's
Snow.
Too muscular.
John Snow.
Like, John Snow. I don't know. I don't know how they mess up this. It's such a... such a no-brainer Hollywood franchise. The Incredibles clearly did it
right. The
first way, the best way.
The best way.
How do they? I don't know how they're messing this up so much.
Well, like, I mean, I think that it's just going to be how they are able to obviously cast, how they set the story. If they don't, we've seen now with the Marvel movies that even like Thor, they're taking out the ridiculous humor that they had with what's her face,
Kat Dennings.
They're trimming that back because you see that though the fans aren't responded to that much, and maybe they're going to change the tone now for Fantastic Four.
Were you a fan of Thor?
I liked a lot of Thor. I liked the stuff in Asgard.
It was a pretty hard book to make into a movie, though, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like they did a pretty amazing job.
I thought so. Yeah. I know you liked it a little more. I liked it.
Yeah, I loved it.
I liked the movie, but my biggest problems with it, there was humor in it that absolutely,
it was a jokey,
but there was humor that absolutely worked. Like when he goes into about the cow joke that he goes in
you mean the horses.
The horses,
right?
Yeah. Like that kind of stuff was great. He was great. It's just the Kat Dennings stuff just was just missed.
Rubbed you the wrong way.
Yeah, and but again, I think that the way the new one looks, the new Thor
I'm
looks
down.
Great. All right, so
yeah, Thor looks great.
Moving on, let's talk about this George Lucas stuff.
Yeah.
Now, the George Lucas has apparently his son is saying he's been talking to J.J. Abrams. Now, I think that I drank the Kool-Aid of all the prequel haters right away, and I'm a prequel hater myself, but I drank the Kool-Aid right away when I heard, he's talking to him, and I'm like, just tell him to stay out of it. And Mark Reilly made a great point. He's like, that's what he did back in the day when Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
He would talk to everybody as long as he's not directing it
He wasn't writing. He's just kind of sticking his nose in and seeing what's up.
Is this really a story? I mean, like, isn't he – it's George Lucas's kid. It's like that annoying guy you got to have on The Office
on the show,
and
right.
just be like – Yeah, oh yeah, he's in charge of whatever. Like, I don't know if I take this as seriously as everybody else.
You don't
else.
Think that he knows his dad and what his dad's doing. So
yeah,
his dad,
it's
and he says
total
like,
nepotism, and he has to get the job.
Well,
right?
Sure, but you think he's gonna lie and be like, you know, he's like, yo, if I was me, but nah, my dad's not doing shit. He's laying on a beach right now, just getting. I think he's getting blown right now, to be honest.
But I think your point is it a story? I mean. We knew George Lucas was a consultant. We knew he's going to be talking
to J.J. Hey, Sonny, let me give you a chance here to also maybe chime in. I respect and think J.J.'s going to – he's a fan of the material.
Right. Oh, wait. Somebody's gracing us with
somebody,
her presence.
I just wanted to piss you off.
Well, yeah, well, it worked. Amazing. Sit down.
Everyone.
Now,
Sonny.
Joining us –
make an entrance.
You made one.
Well,
you made one. Joining us now, someone who I've known to be late mostly the entire time I've known her in my lifetime, Bonnie Somerville joining us once again. Bonnie, how are you?
I am so sorry. I really do apologize.
Bonnie, meet Andy.
Hi, Andy.
Hey, nice
Andy,
to meet
Bonnie.
You.
Okay, so let's get back. So, Bonnie, we're talking about.
I only care about everyone else's opinion, not yours, but I understand. I'm happy to be here. I'm so sorry with traffic.
Good for you. All right, so here we go. Let's talk about, let's go back to what we were talking about with. So
JJ and George.
Yeah, JJ and George. JJ is now, do you think, in respect, let's say that that it is true, though, Andy, that the fact that he is wants to be more heavily involved, he doesn't want to let go. He has to, because this is what they said. They said he had the treatments all written out before he sold it to Disney. So let's say he is heavily involved. Do you think JJ is saying, oh, yeah, absolutely, I'm listening to everything you say?
Got to say that.
Yeah, no, but do you think he legitimately is listening to everything, or is he just going to be like...
George Lucas is the dad of Star Wars.
Right, yeah.
You got to give him respect.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, I don't mind George Lucas chiming in with an idea here or there.
Right.
He did a great job the first round. I just don't want him to touch it as a director.
Right.
Yeah.
I think he's an awful
George
director.
George Lucas right. chiming in with an idea. That's
fine.
Chiming in with the idea is fine. It's the matter of...
As much as a bad director he was an amazing visionary. Great ideas.
He created it.
He's got the right.
His son
can do whatever the hell he's got to do. But
the originals were. You know,
we got to see it first.
Never.
It's hard for me to get so
right.
worried
right, now,
about it.
Now here's another thing everybody's getting worried about. Again, going into the Star Wars world that everybody's getting annoyed with, and that's all these casting rumors or who's going in, who's
well,
not
I heard
going.
Say,
in.
What's her name? Rosie Ronan.
The reason I bring that story up is because she said that everybody. And by the way, Bonnie, you should have
everybody
your people.
Said,
I wish.
And Michael B. Jordan said
that. I like that you think it's that easy that my people could just call JJ.
That's literally what Ronan said. She said that. Everybody is getting in, and she's like, anyone can get in right now because they're seeing everyone.
And Moretz said it too.
And well, yeah, and
Moretz, Michael B. Jordan.
Now, my thing was now, if let's say the Ronan and Moretz thing was true, the fact that they're reading for Han Solo's daughter, which is the big rumor. If that's true, for me, my pick is Moretz because if you're going to play Han Solo or Carrie Fisher's daughter, you got to have a little bit of that, say, hit girl type. Atmosphere. Ronan's a great actress, but she's always
hit girl from
Kick-Ass. Yeah, yeah.
We know her too well. I think you need to get somebody a little more
unknown.
It's like Star Trek rebooted right. Like you knew those people, but you didn't really know those people.
You think Chloe Moretz is that?
I think she's.
Known?
I mean, she's Carrie. She's
too trendy right
she's,
now.
Yeah,
I agree.
The people know her.
All right.
The original Star Wars cast, they were not trendy actors.
Well, how about
I have a question though. Sarah Rose Rowan was up for Avengers 2 as a Scarlet Witch. I heard, and now Star Wars. Do you think she pulled out of Avengers because she had stock and thinking, oh, I'm going to be in Star Wars instead?
I mean, look,
which one's the better one? What would you have done?
They're both Disney. She probably has an inside track at what she's got a better shot
at. Exactly. But do you bet your horse on the Avengers Star Wars tempo.
I think you go with Star Wars because there's so much more. You haven't been excited for this one since, I will give credit to Episode One, because when Episode One came out, people thought
it was mania.
Yeah. So people haven't been that excited for a possible good Star Wars in a very long time. And there's, and again, like, you can literally say, oh, Yoda's going to cook eggs in 1 minute, and everybody goes bananas about it all over the internet. So why wouldn't you be part of it?
What would Gary Busey say?
I really don't want to see that.
That sounds like something
tonight.
Gary Busey would say.
Did you ever watch the Episode 1 and 2 videos were good with Michael Berryty, related media?
No, I know.
Those are
a buddy
of
ours.
Amazing.
Yeah, I know.
Props to him. He's on our show a lot too.
Yeah.
But my God, that guy figured it out. And it's just so depressing watching that again.
Yeah.
When you watch him, he details it out so perfectly that had Lucas just let one guy in the room to chime in on the creative, like, those
too
movies
many
could
yes
have been
when
so
you're that
good.
Big, when you're that big, you're that successful. I mean, honestly, like, would Steve Jobs listen to anybody tell him? I mean, really, you can't expect him to listen when you've created that dynasty.
That's
true.
Would
you?
Yeah.
But
for the prequels, he went full steam ahead. Thank you.
And now that he's gone, that's a great thing, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I totally agree. I don't know what's
don't
going
show
on
me
over there.
Porn while we're being
I heard
serious.
They did first. Is that true?
Yeah. Well, I can't. Can I?
What?
No, I'm
what?
Not going to say it. You missed that.
Is it true you guys were a thing or something?
Wishes.
I don't know what I can and cannot say.
I've heard the rumors.
What we're going to talk about later on.
We're not talking about
that.
I was scolded. I need to be a serious host. I'm not allowed to say anything.
I did because he
tweet her and say, fucking go nuts.
What I wanted in.
We can say fuck.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Fucking
A.
Yeah.
All right. What I wanted to bring up.
Worse than that?
What I wanted to bring up before Bonnie showed up whenever she wants to was the fact that at 9:30, Bonnie's going to have a Q&A because, again, last time it was a lot of fun, but we didn't want to overshadow the guests with all the nonsense because Bonnie wanted to really open up a lot of Pandora's boxes. So at 9:30.
Whoa. One box at a time.
At 9:30, Bonnie will have a Q&A from all. You guys have thrown a lot of questions, and you can still do it. There are about three or four pictures on our Facebook page.
Ask me if I was Mona from Friends, please don't.
No, someone asked, were you really attracted to Ross for in real life? So we'll talk about that as well. But anyway, that's later on at 9:30. Let's get back to the news. American Hustle. Is Ken still in the room or no? He's running around.
He's chiming producing.
That's fine. He's producing.
He's producing.
I bet you. I'm so shocked Ken didn't watch that because Jennifer Lawrence is running around in a bra and underwear in that trailer.
Oh, that
I heard
amazing.
They both had to be very naked in that movie.
Yeah,
that's
and
what
it
I
looks
read.
Like it. American Hustle. He's like gold, everything. King Midas, man, is David O. Russell right now.
Really? Silver Linings was that? I mean, it was good.
I don't care if you liked it or not. I don't care if you liked it or not. As far as critically acclaimed and as far as winning career-wise, the guy is King Midas. So and he's got now this movie coming out that people are really excited about, and now he's combining franchises, if you will, with Christian Bale and Bradley Cooper. He's got both his Oscar-winning actor and nominated actor working together as far as winning actress. It's gonna generate a lot of hype. I think it's gonna be a big movie. Who's excited?
And the fans were already like off of that trailer, like, oh my god, Batman and Rocket Raccoon and Hunger Games and are all together in the same movie. It's like,
right. Yeah, all right. Yeah. So, Andy, are you excited about the movie? What do you think?
Rocket Raccoon's in it?
Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah, Bradley Cooper.
Oh, that's right.
The voice.
Cooper, yes. Yeah. Thanks. Sorry.
From Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, I think it's good.
I'd like to know him as from a little show called Kitchen Confidential.
That's right.
You might have watched
Cooper.
For a half
I went to high school
with
Bradley Cooper.
Did you really?
Yeah.
One of the
Germantown Academy.
Ever.
Wow.
He's our all-star. They always talk about him. He's a very nice fellow. But yeah, I think it looks good. I am with you. He's made a lot. Can we talk about Gravity? Have you ever talked about Gravity?
Yes, please. A couple times.
That was a good movie.
Oh my god, it was so good. You know, I don't even like. I'm so not. That's not my thing.
Yeah,
you know,
it's just the best thing Sandra Bullock's ever done.
Like, my God, what an
best
amazing achievement
she's ever done, and she was.
Even
by
if you don't like the story, like. Holy shit, how did he make that?
How did he do that?
Yeah, it's
the
technology.
The nuance.
Yeah, it's true. It's the
kudos.
Technology. It's everything that he did. It's a fantastic
and
movie.
And so understated, like subtle, not just like in your face, boom, boom.
And I'd love to, again, guys, I know we did this on the Facebook page. Tweet in right now. What'd you think of Gravity? At Schmozno, let us know what you thought of Gravity. And also, what do you think about this whole, about the trailer of American Hustle? So comment at Schmozno and let us know. And you can also call in 323-622-8623, taking calls in a second as well. And then some other stuff. One other thing, this King Kong. When I heard that it was a sequel at first, I was going, wait, I don't know if you heard the whole thing, though, Bonnie. The sequel is not a sequel of the Peter Jackson movie. It's a sequel from the original, which is bizarre.
What?
Yeah, it's like they're
it's based on a graphic novel.
Are they going to use the same little gorilla that they used? The that would be awesome.
I just want to know, how did Kong survive? If the original, if it's based on the original, he still falls off the Empire State Building.
Yeah, and
correct?
He survives. I guess he survives in the.
I guess he survives. I got to read the graphic novel. But
right, does anybody in this room?
Or they clone him?
I actually liked King Kong, the Peter Jackson one.
So did I.
I just thought it was okay. I thought it was too long. I thought if you cut about 45 minutes off that movie, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, come on,
45
fantastic.
Minutes.
Fantastic.
As far this
it's
movie,
okay.
This movie came
it's
out.
Okay,
it came out in 2003. For the technology and the stuff and the Andy Serkis.
Yeah, it's just him jacking off on technology.
Nah, come on. Andy Serkis had another great performance that is never talked about. Everyone talks about Gollum. Everyone talks about Caesar. No one talks about him as Caesar.
Caesar was way better.
I agree with you. But what I'm saying is, though, what he did. You agree with someone other than me?
Well, you're stupid. I mean, you're just dumb.
I mean, I got to agree with you on this.
Let's go back.
Are you drunk?
Not yet.
Okay.
But you want me? I don't think I'll be able to do what you did last night.
Guys,
did you like Godzilla, too?
Andy Serkis was not in Godzilla, and I hated Godzilla. It was horrendous. It didn't have any emotion in it. Like,
wait, are we talking Matthew Broderick?
Godzilla babies in Madison Square Garden?
You did
Matthew
not like
Broderick.
That
Matthew Broderick. Come on.
You mean Jurassic Park 4?
That story had to be told, friends. That story had to be told.
But besides the fact, what I'm saying, what my point is that I don't even want to see another one because it's over.
Neil Marshall directing. I mean,
it's over.
Why can't they do?
It's like
I'm
a
so
Spider-Man origin story. We've been there. We don't need another one.
I'm playing devil's advocate a little bit because I'm a fan of Neil Marshall, but I agree with you. Do we need another Kong? Do we need another branded?
No.
Play. Let's get profits. A sequel to King Kong.
That's why Gravity was so refreshing to
Thank
me.
You.
It wasn't
yes.
a sequel. I didn't see it coming.
Right.
I had no idea what it was about.
It was fresh. It was fresh.
These two big stars. It's not even about them. That's what's so amazing. You could put. I mean, they were great.
No, but yeah,
it's about.
I know what you're saying. I agree.
But then all these movies, they're just remaking the same crap.
Yeah. Is it embarrassing to admit that movie made me a little teary?
Yes.
Gravity.
No.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's sensitive.
What? It makes me a man?
Are you guys going to
hug? It makes you a man?
Yeah.
I'll hug you.
Maybe just because I have a kid now. But yeah.
That's a great point. And not to spoil
so touching.
Not to spoil it for anybody, but there is – I had the conversation
There's
with –
There's just a heart at it. Out of nowhere,
this
damn.
This sad sack behind me, JCR, we watched it. He gave it 4.5 out of 5. I gave it 5. And what I said was – and we were talking about it, and again, without giving spoilers, I wondered because I am a dad if there are parts of that movie that made me feel more – and I think yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Probably true.
It's true.
I'm not a dad, and
you still felt that.
Right.
Well, the difference between you and JTI, though, Mark, is that you're human.
Thank you.
Yeah,
so, I appreciate that.
Oh,
yeah.
Don't say
JTI,
that.
JTI, don't worry. I'm rebooting you later.
Like
you'll
too,
be more
he's
human.
He's so cute. He's sweet. Yeah. Unlike some people.
JTI is going to get a lot of praise. JTI put up a great episode of Meet the Schmoes up on Schmo Plus today. If you haven't watched it, you should check it out. It's amazing. It's really funny. We'll talk about that in a second. But I want to go to the lines. Hey, you're in Schmoville. Who do we got?
Hey, Christian. Hey, Schmoville. What's up? It's Tony Morrow.
Tony, what's up, man? What do you got for us? Out of the stories we're talking about so far, what do you got? And then tell us who's winning the war between myself and Bonnie.
Please. No question.
Oh, so far you're winning, Christian.
What?
Thank you. All right. We're not talking about that. Say that, Tony. Sorry. Go ahead.
Just a quick mention of Gravity, because I saw the movie, too. And for anybody listening, don't worry. I'm not going to spoil the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the movie. It was...
I saw your tweets, though. Wait a minute. I saw your tweets. You were praising it like it was the next thing. Like it was sliced bread. And then a couple more reviews came out, and you read some stuff. And then you changed, and you went to like 3.5 or 4. But you were at 5 and 5 when it first came out. Why did you change so much?
Do you not let your audience talk, Christian?
I don't.
I saw the movie with my dad. I saw it in IMAX 3D. And first thought was, oh, my God, this is, one incredible film. I mean, it's visually stunning. It's really intense. But the problem was I didn't really get that emotionally involved in the story. Not that it was a weak story. It's just.
Do you have a heart,
Andy? Please let the guest talk.
Stunning,
do you have a heart?
And is it beating?
Yeah.
Serious question. Do you have a heart?
No.
No.
Thank you, Tony. All right. That's honest answer. There's probably a heart buried in his backyard. But okay. So there is a there's certain people that and I'm busting Tony's balls, but there are a lot of there's some people that felt that way, absolutely. But there's some people who just I felt for her story. I loved her story. But again, Gravity, everybody's talking about it nonetheless. Before we go to break, I want to talk to Andy a little bit now about break. I want to talk about
that's
what's going on.
Talk me about, really?
Yeah, you don't want
to ask me anything.
You know you want to talk about Break.
Ask me anything. Break.
I just did. Break. It's a company who works for Break. Remember I told. Remember I showed you Honest Trailers and you love it. He produces this.
Oh my God, I love it.
Thank you very much. Very fun.
I think that is awesome. Honestly.
Yeah. So.
Do you want a little sneak peek on what's Honest Trailers dropping on Tuesday?
Yes. What do you got?
The Walking Dead.
Oh, that's cool.
It's taking a really long time.
Yeah, I'm sure.
How much material? I mean, how do you even cut through all that? Did you do a Homeland one
yet?
We
had to watch it. We hired a dude who got to watch every episode and take notes. It was a pretty awesome job. I mean, we did it for Breaking Bad, too. This guy's that's not a bad job, right?
Are you hiring? I will do that.
We're going to have to do Lost at some point. Any Lost fans?
You should just hire like an inmate in a prison. They have nothing else to do.
Wait, Andy, talk to me about how Honest Trailers came about. Like, how did the whole thing kind of generate?
So it's for youtube.com/screenjunkies. We needed to put content on there. We wanted to do something funny. We had this idea to bust on Phantom Menace, speaking of George Lucas crapping on the prequels. And we did it when the 3D re-release came out. So we made this video that just called it as is, featuring council meetings, more council meetings, all the boring shit that's in
that
movie.
That was my favorite, yeah.
And so that sort of borne it out. And then we were like, let's try it again. So we picked Titanic, and then we did Twilight.
Those
two, this really took off even bigger.
Yeah.
And we're like, we're onto something. And there was a lot of wrestling. Well, you can only do this a handful of times. I'm like, fuck that. I'm riding this gravy train as long as I can. And so we kept doing it. It's become more and more frequent, but it's become a staple of ours, and it's definitely one of our strongest brands.
And so do you guys have – so how many writers do you have on your staff?
I created the show with Brett Weiner, who's a friend of mine who worked with us. We did the show early on, and it was really just him and I and another worker, employee at the time, would chime in. Over the course, it's usually a hand, 2 to 3 people max.
Yeah.
I have my hand in all of them because I'm just a control freak on that show, particularly. Yeah. It's my baby. I make sure it's good, but there's usually a few of us. And our editor, Dan Merle, who's fantastic, who chimes in a lot.
Does he also edit the Screen Junkie show?
He does. Okay. He has the Screen Junkie show and directs some of that too and helps with the Honest Trailer tremendously. But yeah, our team's about 3-4 people.
Cool. And if you guys, at Shmova, if you're not familiar with the Screen Junkie show, again, Hal Rudnick has been on the show a bunch of times, and Mark and I have been on Screen Junkies a handful of times.
I'm sure you're going to be on again soon.
Can't wait. We have so much
fun
doing
liver?
It.
Jeez.
See, that's what she does.
Sorry.
She tries all my contacts.
All about you, huh?
You've been doing that again. Let Shmova know. You've been doing that for years. Taking all my contacts. Yeah, all right,
whatever.
Guys.
And you've been stealing all my jokes, but that's cool.
Uh-oh, there goes my headphones.
Oh, it's
all right, so now
we're
going to move on because we have Kellen Coleman coming in a second. So we're excited to talk to her about her show. Andy's going to stick with us.
Yay.
Bonnie's
going to
– you're not leaving and leaving early because you came in late, right?
I'll probably leave early anyway.
Okay, good. We'll be back in just a second, guys. Schmoes No Movies Podcast.
Listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.
What's up, Toadheads? Hey, make sure you check out the Toad Hop store on ToadHopNetwork.com. It's a great way to support the network and helps continue to bring you quality programming.
Quality programming, my ass.
Can you see I'm recording you? Oh!
So maybe you've got a great idea for a business and want to start selling your products or services online. Maybe you're an established business owner looking for new customers. Or maybe you're interested in starting a personal website. No matter who you are, GoDaddy wants to help you kick ass online. Right now, GoDaddy's offering .com domains for just $1.99. It's go time. Start your website today. Visit GoDaddy.com and enter promo code TOAD to get your $1.99.com or click on the GoDaddy graphic on the Toad Hop website. Some limitations apply. See website for details.
To leave your house to shop, to crawl through traffic to the mall,
just to find the thing you wanted,
isn't even there at all.
Amazon.com is the answer.
Shop at home in style and ease.
Find exactly what you want.
Ordering your stuff's a breeze.
Books on tape.
Games galore.
Everything you're looking for.
Kindle.
Cameras. Electronics.
Baby Einstein.
Hooked on Phonics.
Blu-ray.
Movies.
And TV.
Download.
Music.
MP3.
Pixar.
Disney. Microphones.
Pet supplies and doggy bones.
World of Warcraft.
Nancy Drew.
Sims.
The Scruff.
System 2.
Click Amazon.
You'll smile with glee.
Sometimes shipping's even free.
What's up, everyone? Sports Guru here. Sick of looking at the same old boring websites? Well, check out thenewsportsguru.com for all the hottest trending videos and all the biggest sports news. Become a VIP for only $4.99 and get premium access to everything the Sports Guru has to offer. The beautiful gurus, girls, all my biggest sports picks, and much more. So get off that porn site and check out thenewsportsguru.com.
Is that hunk of junk you call a car always breaking down and leaving you in the dust? Log on to Dyson-Motors.com and check out Dyson's full inventory online. With hundreds of quality cars in stock of all makes and models, you can find the next car of your dreams in minutes. And know you're getting super low pricing. Purchase a car today from Dyson Motors and receive a year of free oil changes. Bad credit? Worried about financing? Log on and get pre-approved in seconds. Go to Dyson-Motors.com and find your new car today.
With Gamefly, choose from over 6,000 titles. Play as long as you want and send them back when you're done. $8.95 to start. No late fees. Gamefly.com. Games delivered.
You're listening to the Toad Hop Network. Radio worth watching.
Machete Kills. That's right. What's up, guys? It's the Schmoes No Movies podcast. Myself, Christian Harloff, joined by Andy Signori, as well as the feisty Bonnie Somerville. Joining us in studio now, I am very excited to have our guest. You may have seen her from the newsroom. You may have seen her from the Mindy Project. And she has a new film coming out tomorrow, I believe.
Yep.
And that is called Casadaga.
Casadaga.
And it comes out tomorrow, and it's Kellen Coleman. How are you, Kellen?
I'm great. How are you?
Nice to have you in studio.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for my beer.
You're welcome. That's how we get everybody
it's
right
the
away.
Only reason why. You
only
come
reason.
Here anyway.
Yeah, we get you here early. We give you a beer.
And you
I didn't
up.
Even know. It was such a nice surprise.
Yeah, good. See, and now we know we're gonna get along.
Cheers. What?
And pray for a miracle.
What? We're gonna talk about. We're gonna
thank
about Magic Hat.
Thank
take
you,
it
Magic
easy back
Hat.
There. I lead into things. I lead into it. I want to say, oh, because it has to be smooth when I have somebody jumping and going, hey, talk about the sponsor, you son of a.
Bonnie and I love it.
We love it. It's really good. It makes Christian sound funnier the more you drink
oh,
it.
Oh, you son
Every
of a bitch, Bonnie Somerville.
Great.
You know,
even better than they look.
More beer for the girls.
All right. Now let's. I want to talk to you about your movie.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit about it.
Oh, gosh.
What do you do in it? What is going on? What is the movie about? And where can our audience see it?
That's a good question. The movie's called Casadaga.
Mm-hmm.
It's a horror thriller.
Mm-hmm.
It takes place in Casadaga, Florida. I play, get this, a postlingually deaf girl.
Wow.
What? got meningitis at the age of 14, lost my hearing.
Oh, wow.
Very hard with my mother to keep my speech intact. Important. So I speak.
That's good right. backstory.
Well,
that's a lot
sure,
of.
There you go.
Well, that's what I was going to say. This because I hear that you had to learn sign language.
I did.
Amazing.
How crazy
and,
is that?
Well, you know what? I'd always had a fascination with it. I had already known some sign language because my mom is a nurse, and back when I was little, she worked in nursing homes, and there was one patient who was hearing impaired, and so I started learning and went through a book and learned the whole alphabet and can do double hands like. Alphabet, which is apparently harder. I don't
Very.
Know.
Very. Yeah,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but they had a high school girl who has been taking like the highest level of ASL, American Sign Language, teach me a lot of stuff. We didn't use that much of it, surprisingly.
Oh, really?
They only wanted it really in one scene to be...
legit?
First yeah, like, yeah. Like as if I would... throw it in there because I read lips the whole movie.
Okay.
And... was tested on that because Louise Fletcher, who's you know one Miss Nurse Ratched in,
love her.
She was in it, and her parents are both deaf, and I didn't know that. And she showed up and was like, "You're doing a really great job."
Oh, that's great.
Lips. And I was like, "Oh, thank God!"
Makes you feel really like.
So you didn't tell her you read the script before, right? She just let her.
Yeah. No, I mean the movie. So basically, my character has had a hard life. Her mother has passed away. Her sister then passes away. She moves away to Casadaga, Florida, which is apparently the psychic capital of the world.
Wow.
Or of America.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah, Casadaga, Florida.
Wow.
And
wow.
Shows up, meets a guy played by the lovely Kevin Alejandro, Jesus from True Blood.
Did you?
My boy.
What? Oh, that's right, Golden Boy.
Yes.
Yeah, look,
say
connections,
man.
Connections,
I think
connections.
I met you at the In Style.
Look at this.
Golden Globes.
Golden Globes party, because I was talking to Leslie for
Let's
a while.
Get out of here, Macoogas.
Don't shout out to
Leslie and Kevin.
Leslie and Kevin.
Guys. And Kaden. How you doing? I forgot about that. Dude.
Yeah.
So I meet him.
I've lost my ally.
We go on a date, and then I guess there's a spur of the moment. We all go to a psychic, like as a thing.
Yeah.
And I end up trying to contact my sister and to get in touch with her. And then things go awry, and I get contacted.
Somebody else
by
comes
a
in. Right.
Wow. And then she is trying to lead me, we think, to her killer.
So who directs this film?
Anthony DeBlasi.
Okay.
Works with Clive Barker, or did a lot.
And no, I definitely recognize the name for sure.
He directed. He was one of the producers, I believe, on Midnight Meat Train.
Okay.
I hope that's right. And he also directed
Midnight Meat Train?
Dread.
Yeah. Yeah. Rampage Jackson was in
that
one as well.
Is that your porn name?
You would know.
Midnight Meat Train.
That is his porn name.
Yeah.
That's why I brought it up.
So, the other thing
that
I wanted
to... sounds awesome.
Yeah. And Bonnie, you also did a horror film recently as well. Now,
yes.
Kellen, was this your first horror film that you did?
You know, it's funny because right before this, I had done a little movie called Children of the Corn.
Oh, right.
But, listen, come on. that was a 2.5-week... movie-making boot camp, basically.
Okay.
Because I think they were losing the rights to the name, and they're like, we have to get it in. So we made it, like, just very quickly.
It's like Katie Sackhoff when she was on here. She talked about her...
always with the Katie Sackhoff.
I like to bring it up even more when you're on the show.
No
but
kidding.
No, but when she talks about Halloween Resurrection, again, I was like, come on. It's what you learn on the set.
Well, honestly, that film, it was a boot camp, because then I just got this movie, and... we did it, and I thank God I had done that one, because it taught me how to carry film, because I was sharing it with someone but a lead, and then this one, it was all me.
Right.
You know, got the part a few days before, had to go to Florida, first time I've carried a film.
Yeah.
And then was there just being beat up for a while. And
Now did you get this? Did you get, you know, were you, do you think you got this off because of your role on The Newsroom? Or is this before?
This movie, actually, we did a long time ago.
Oh, really?
But the only reason I believe, I know that it didn't come out then was because they were first-time producers, and they didn't know how to get it out. And then finally they're like, have done two more movies, and they know how to do it. And they're like, oh, here we go, and the movie's coming out.
Oh, good timing.
Yeah, because they just did two more movies. They got it all
done.
Wow,
and it's good timing for you as well, too.
Yeah, this was before all of that.
Wow.
This was
amazing.
A 3-year-ago baby Kel.
Well, then let's talk about The Newsroom, then, because I want to talk about... So then that's interesting in the timeline of things. So you got this... You did Casadega, and now you go in from The Newsroom. Mm-hmm. After that, now are you now knowing that's Aaron?
I've done The Office.
So Aaron Sorkin, and you're going. So obviously, your nerves go up right away for Aaron Sorkin, and then you get the role, and then you've got to learn all that dialogue.
Oh,
like, how
God,
crazy
that
is
dialogue?
It's nuts. It's you know, it's the biggest honor to be around those people, and I know everyone says that, but you know, you go in. I went in being like, I would be lucky to be here, obviously, which you try to go on every job, and if you don't think that, you probably shouldn't do it, and I went in for a pre-read, and then she was like, okay, I'm going to bring you back, and Aaron will be there. And I was like, okay. And then she's like, and he likes to read with everybody.
That's cool.
And is that okay? And I was like, no, it's not.
No,
okay.
I would prefer not.
Yeah. So I was freaking out.
Can I bring in Kevin Alejandro, please?
Right, yeah. I was freaking out.
Who
and,
would be also
and,
amazing.
I'm sure.
Yeah, oh, he'd be great. But it was him and our executive producer, Alan Poole, and, you know, we read and we worked it. And it was – I didn't just get it right away. It was like a long process of them – you know, I think it came down to a few people, me and eventually me and someone else. And then when I found out, it was like the most epic movie moment.
Yeah.
Like I'd taken a bus from New York to L.A. and I was told I might have to fly back in and re-audition. And then I was like, I will. I have no money in my bank account, but I will borrow money from my brother. I will get there. And then they were like, okay, we'll find out. And they're like, you know what? They said, don't do that. It's okay. We're going to send them all your tape and everything. And so I said, okay, are you sure? I don't want to lose this. And then I took a bus, and I got off the metro. My parents were pulling up in their car, and my phone rang, and I picked it up. And then I was on there, and my agents have always played this joke on me, like, listen, we have something to tell you.
Oh, my God. Mine do the same thing every time.
Every time, and I always fall for
always.
It. And so finally, and they were like, you effing God.
Yeah.
And
I was like, the best feeling ever.
I literally silently just
dropped the phone.
Yeah. Like in like a horror, like a Breakfast Club
right,
moment.
Right.
And my parents went, and I go, like silently, like mouth,
so
I got it. And they got out. I think my dad did a Tebow, like even though, because that was like when that was popular. And my parents, it was like the cutest moment of just like, this is what it should be. I hope it's always like this.
That's really
and
awesome.
The dialogue is a is a killer.
I'm sure it is. Have you done the classic walk and talk scene yet?
Oh yeah, I had on the last episode. I had an 8.5 page walk and
talk. Right, I know Andy, I'm just
jealous of that. Like, because we do that at work now. Like at my own work, I'm like, let's go Aaron Sorkin and we'll walk down and do the conversations as we're walking.
Yeah, and she actually gets to do it. Yeah.
How do you do? That seems such a mean question. You're an actress, clearly you're good. How do you memorize and do? And some of his words are so complicated. Like, what is that process?
The good thing about his writing is it's very musical, and it's kind of, I say it's most, it's the most, I mean, this is very flourishing, but it's the closest to Shakespeare we have in modern day, because it's how it's written is how it comes out.
Yeah.
You don't have to work to make it sound like that. So it can be very easy. I mean, we memorize things for a living. I have 14 pages to memorize tonight.
Wow.
After a birthday party, which is I'm not going to birthday party, people. I swear to God. But I mean, I guess we just do it so much that it becomes regular. I go into a movie, though, and I can't remember the movie after I've seen it.
But it's just your process, remember. And you should draw on how you figure out how to do it.
And then his stuff, it just kind of makes sense. I have a lot of problem more than like when I had to go, there was a scene first season I had to go on air with Jeff's character and do an interview, and that was really hard for me because it was all listing facts.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have to work a lot harder for it because it's not a back and forth or like, you know, you're not having an emotional response to what someone's saying.
Right.
And for me, that's hard. Like if you, the Golden Boy, I don't even know how, because you
probably, and stuff.
I mean, procedurals are hard, and I've done them, but not on that end.
Well, I guess there's a question for both you guys then too, is that when do you find that it's easier, not easier, but you know, like, because you're so into the character, and you guys, especially you, Bonnie, as well, is because you've learned this character so well as in regards to Deb McKenzie. You've been with her so long that the thought process starts to even come more, I can definitely picture her saying that. I know how she says that. I know that she would say those words. And is that easier in the process, or is it just a different way that you guys have it, like your technique?
I don't know. I've never worked with Aaron, but they start to write. In my experience, they start to write for you.
Yeah.
So the characters change as they get to know you. So it just gets easier and easier. They're like, oh, she would say this well. She would say this badly. Like, they know what you can do.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't know about.
It's supposed to be one episode.
Oh,
that's awesome. Good for you.
One episode guest star. So that is very true that they, you know.
You've been on what? Like 11 now? 10? 10?
No, I've been on, airing on 7.
Yeah.
Shot more than that. But, you know, he went back and perfected some things, and
okay,
storylines changed.
Do people come up on the street and yell at Jim for you?
they do say, why is he with, you know, but like, listen, I want Maggie and Jim to get together. I mean, it's
how is he? I'm such a fan.
Who,
is
John?
He, yeah.
Oh God. I freaking love him.
Yeah.
Yeah. JGJ, we call him.
Awesome.
John Gallagher Jr.
Yeah.
So he's great. I really love, I mean, there's so many good people on that show.
My friend Constance Zimmer is on it.
I just met her. Mm-hmm. Didn't even meet her at the premiere this year. And then I ran into her at ADR and I was like, I think you're great.
Yeah, she's awesome.
My brother was like, and even though he's married, Josh, what up? He was like, wow.
Well,
she does that.
Here's a question for you then. What was harder to do in your experience? Learning the lines, Aaron Sorkin dialogue, or improvising with Rainn Wilson?
Oh, improv is so easy for me.
Yeah, okay.
I love it. But that show doesn't actually have that much.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, they
That's
do.
Shocking.
I, you know, I'm a guest, and it was the first like huge guest star I'd done.
Yeah.
I think I really.
Did Dad do the TiVo for that one?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Oh, no, he didn't.
He didn't. Right.
But I'm sure he did, in his head. I think that what they do is they kind of, you know, they want to get it in the bag and they want to get it done. And then sometimes they'll play a little bit after they have already gotten a take where it's, you know, to the script. And they don't go off that much. And also, I knew I was a guest, so I wanted to only go there if, you know, Rain was going there or whoever I had the scene with.
Right.
So I did it. We did a little. Like, there's the one scene in the episode Happy Hour. And we're going through the arcade that's like the Dave and Buster's. And there's a whole thing they kept like all of our improv where he's asking me what blood type I am. Like that was all. And I said my blood type. And and I said, and then he asked if I was vegetarian. I was like, no, I love to eat meat. And I said it very sexually. Like there was all that was all improv.
Yeah. And because you got to assume like even the outtakes of the movie, stuff that doesn't make it, just working with those guys is so much fun. Yeah,
and, my God.
And at that point too, that they know it so well.
So
and
quick. Yeah. I love doing improv, but, you know, I mean, learning the Sorkin lines are really hard.
Yeah.
And you have to know it because you assume that everyone who's on that show knows what they're doing.
Right.
So they got there and you don't want to be, I don't want to get the scene with Jeff and be like, line, you know, you need to show up and, you know, everybody goes up on their lines and everybody does that.
Is he on?
How is he?
Yes. I was going to ask.
He's great, but he has so much to do. I mean, he is learning a play each episode. You should see the scripts. Like, they're, I mean, a whole page, his whole monologue sometimes. Yeah. So he's, you know, very professional and very on task when he's at work. Sound like a teacher. He's very on task, A+.
But yeah. Well,
but when
you're
he's at work, he's working.
Yeah.
But then if he has a free moment, like, you know, if in the crafty or whatever, you know, one time you talk music, whatever. But when we're at social events, he's great the whole time. It's just that when he's working, he has a lot to do.
Wow.
Yeah, he's now, a really good guy.
Is Aaron on set a lot?
Yeah, he is.
Do you whisper in your ears, put me in jobs? Put
yeah,
me
right.
in jobs.
I wish. Yeah. Aaron, I'll tell you now, put me in jobs. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. He's there a lot. I wasn't there as much this season. But when I was there, it was big chunks, which was good. You'd rather be in like one 6.5 page or 8.5 page than like 1-2 page or every, you know, few episodes.
Right.
But he was there a lot first season at the monitor constantly. He'd come up to you and be like, okay, don't suck.
Right.
I mean, that's like the note you get. He's
do
really
your nurse? Do your nurse go like, because that's the thing though too. It's because I guess in performing is that you know that he's there. Mm. Part of you is like nervous, obviously, because he's there. But
yeah.
The other part is I'm going to knock this out of the fucking park
because
he's there.
That's
so,
probably why we. I mean, that's something we all get.
Probably
when we
why
do
yeah.
it and why we do
yeah.
it. I mean, because you get that like adrenaline rush and
yeah.
I have a problem where after, I don't know if you're like this, but I'm my own worst enemy. And so after everything, they're like, oh, no, we're moving on. And I'm like, wait, hold on. Are you sure you got it? Because I don't, you know, I can't, I always feel like I could have done better. And then I
will
sleep. I hope. I'm sleeping in bed and I'm imagining how I should have done it.
It does happen. It happens all the time.
And you want to change it. Right. I mean, I think that's
auditions too for me. I do that.
Well, you got Wild Man.
Oh, yeah.
Wild Man, you got something?
That's why I always ask if they...
Only if
anything.
You lay in bed, you should always think, I could have done it better.
Boom.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Boom, everyone.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess so.
Don't know his last name.
Boom.
Unless you want to say, hey, you're in Schmoville. Who do we got? We are here with Kellen Coleman.
Ooh,
and any questions that you would like to ask, who do we have?
Hey, guys, it's Tyler Myers.
Tyler Myers, what's
up,
dude?
Oh, you just
dude?
Tweeted me, Tyler.
Nice.
Oh,
see, look at that.
Nice.
Tyler.
You tweeted at her.
Tyler is an active member of Schmoville. He's really great. Tyler, what do you have for Kellen?
First, I want to say that I'm a huge fan of Newsroom, and Kellen, you are great on the show.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem. And my question is, there's so many actors on this show, like Jeff Daniels and Emily Mortimer and Jeff McCall. Were you a fan of any of those actors prior to working on the show?
I think I was a fan of, you know, there were some of the actors that are, they had done more Broadway before. Like, I didn't know John's work before. I didn't know Tommy Sadowski's work, who plays Don. But I was a huge Emily Mortimer fan, a huge Jeff Daniels fan.
Yeah.
I loved Allison's work, Allison Pill. I had really known those three, I guess. And Sam Waterston, obviously. And Jane Fonda. Come
Jeez.
On.
Right.
Come
well,
on.
So
Christmas
can I ask an appropriate question?
Of course,
though?
Annie.
Did Allison Pill's topless photo trigger that storyline in season 2?
You know what?
Because she did that, and then Olivia Munn's character had it happen.
I think that
are
I don't
they
know.
Pulling from your real life now? Do you have to be careful of that?
Yeah.
You know what? I don't know. No one ever said anything, but I think that Aaron is a really smart man, and I would think that not Allison so much as maybe Allison and because Olivia, it happened almost the same, right?
That's
the
true.
Same
it happened
year.
To Olivia too.
So, but it was Olivia's character story, and I really almost liked that. She did that and was like cool with that storyline, and also it was, you know, it's kind of like her fighting or her fighting back or being like, listen, I'm cool. Like, this happened, I'm acknowledging it, it's done,
right.
You know. I would like to think that he maybe did that on purpose, but obviously I would assume he would have spoken to Livy about it. I don't know. I didn't ask.
Right.
You know, it's a touchy.
Well, and she probably also would be, if she didn't really want to do it, probably
she
made
would
us
have
think
said,
about it.
Probably.
Well, let me ask you a question about it that you're probably, you know, I understand if you have the political answer to, but I hear mixed things about Olivia Munn. I hear sometimes she's great to work with, and I hear sometimes she's an asshole. So
I can ask the question, and I set it up
by saying you can be political, but I have to, the Schmoville would get mad at me if I didn't ask. I hear things I want to ask. Do you mind that I asked you?
No.
Thank you.
It could have been bad if I had agreed with the bad things.
Right.
But I don't. I think she is beautiful and a lovely person, and she's doing a great job on
great.
The show.
Okay.
Good
answer.
How about some drama? Who messes up their lines the most?
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, God. I mean, let me just be political and say me. No. I don't know, you know, because everyone is so good. I'll tell you who doesn't. Tommy Sadowski has showed up to table reads off book.
That's just like Kevin Alejandro.
And I'm like, yeah. What? I don't really, think I Kevin? Ever, I don't get out of here.
But I don't Alejandro. Think I've, he memorizes everything.
But
from
we
the,
get him like the day before, and maybe sometimes not wow. even like they're on. They're hot.
That's
sometimes.
Gotta make you sweat when that comes.
Oh
in.
Yeah, and also you know when you're in a read, and I'm sitting next to Aaron, and it was like one of my, I think it was the last episode of the season, and he's like, oh, he assigns people. Characters like yeah. all the staff if they're not there, and he gives you like little note cards, and I guess he forgot, and he was like, oh god, all right, I forgot Constance's part. He goes, Kellen, you'll read that. And I was like, oh god,
oh man,
okay. And it was on, and I didn't even know what her character was, because I don't get to read the scripts I'm not on,
right?
So I didn't know that she was an on-air personality, that she was political. I didn't know anything about her. So I had to be like with Jeff at the table just being like, well, I think that the GOP ended, and I some of the things I was like, is that how you say
right.
Because my character's in fashion. She's not in the government.
But you go with it. But you
yeah.
go with it.
I did it.
Great.
I did it, but it was rough.
Yeah. All right, we have some more phone calls for you, Kellen, from
yes.
Schmoville. Hey, you're in Schmoville. Who do we got?
Me.
Oh, good, me.
You. Who's me?
Got
me?
You.
Me. How have you been?
Hi, you.
Me.
Hey,
what is your name, good friend?
David. I made it through.
You made it through. What's your name, dude?
Hey,
David.
You.
Hey,
I'm a huge fan of the show.
Oh.
So what,
oh, man, the best which, day of my life.
Oh.
Well,
wait, what's your name?
Sorry, we missed your name again.
Is this
buddy.
Christian's dad?
It is my dad.
Oh.
What's your name?
David.
David.
Hi, David.
All right, David's here. Are you a huge fan of the newsroom?
Yeah.
Okay, oh. So David, what question would you have for Kellen? You have her on the line. You made it through. It's your big day,
your
my
lucky
friend.
Break, kid.
You can ask her a question. Ask away, my friend.
I had a question, but in all that excitement, I forgot what it was.
Oh, David.
Oh, it's all right.
That's all right, David. So, let me help you out. So, you're a fan of the show. What moment of Kellen's that you remember from the show that you really enjoyed? Is there anything that you wanted to ask or question? What do you like about
her
character?
Was it when she got the drink spilled on her?
Yeah. What do you like about the show? You can tell her right now anything you'd like. Oh, poor David. Poor David. It's all right, David. So,
way to
so,
fuck it up,
David. Jesus.
Oh, that's the end. He's just a guest. We'll kick
You'll
him out of the
get
studio.
This shot again.
Be honest.
Welcome to show business, kid.
All right, poor David. All right, so we'll take one more. We'll take another call. David was a nice guy. Hey, you're in Schmoville. Who do we got?
Nice guy or a serial killer?
Hey, it's Georgie, guys.
Georgie. Georgie. All right, Georgie. So,
do you know this guy?
Yeah, we know Georgie.
Georgie
is a... Georgie,
right.
is
Georgie
a,
spit it out, please.
Georgie is a regular caller. Georgie will have something to say. Georgie, you have Kellen Coleman. Go.
Okay, so being on a show that is often very political, is that ever difficult? Because they're, you know, politics is... kind of a touchy subject.
I think it's a good question, though, too. Spinning off of George's question is the fact of, like, especially when you may not believe in maybe the politics that you're saying.
Right.
Thanks, George.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whoa, nice. Max Hedrum.
Oh, my
That's
God.
A remix.
Amazing.
Joe Schmo remix. I'm lucky because I'm a character that doesn't have to do a lot of political...
But you're still around.
But
it,
I
though.
Did
yeah,
one
yeah,
episode.
Yeah.
I was I made a lot of statements about abortion in an episode with the. I ended up being Casey Anthony's high school friend. I don't know if anyone remembers that. Whoop, quinky dink. And that, you know, I did have to say a lot of stuff. And I would, if I had questions about it, I would go to Aaron and kind of, you know, you find your character's way to the material. And if you don't believe in it, you have to do the work on why. This person does,
right.
And how is that, you know, you can't hate your character. That's a big thing you learn when you're younger, is that you can't dislike who you're playing.
Right.
You have to find the humanity and the
yeah. I mean, even look at
look
at Bryan Cranston with Walter White. Man.
Oh yeah,
one of the most
I mean,
despicable guys ever, and he no, you
well,
knew
he made him
now.
Human,
yeah.
And he made him. That's what was so compelling about.
Yeah.
His character. I think that being on the show with a lot of political stuff, you know, people do ask about it, and especially like when you're at the premiere and they ask on the carpet and like, oh, well, this happened and this, you know, this election. You try to be politically correct, you know, as
right.
far as, you know, if you, I mean, listen, we all have different opinions and probably a lot of people on the show do.
Yeah.
You just have to stay true to the show and yourself.
Yeah, no, but also I'm sure that there's a lot, there has to be big debates off camera. There's...
Yeah.
Like people who don't believe, again, because even the more people who they're actually playing anchors and stuff who aren't kind of believing what they, you know, they're saying, their character, they might believe it, but you know what I mean? Like, they have a totally different stance.
A great question for Jeff.
Yeah.
You know what? Like, I would love to ask him because he's playing a Republican, but a Republican in the old sense of the word. And kind of, you know, some people watch the show and say, well, he's not a Republican. And some say, oh, that's the type of Republican I am. And it's a very, some people say liberal show. I think it's, personally, I think it shows both sides. But, you know, there are a lot more liberal characters on the show or Democrats.
Does Jeff let you talk to him? Or is he that guy?
Yes. Jeff is like, great.
No,
Jeff
no one
actually,
can talk
don't look
to
me in the eye.
Jeff actually tweets, my dad and him tweet.
Right.
Because my dad's a musician. And one day he heard me, I guess John's parents are musicians too. They were folk musicians. And he heard me talking about my dad. And then Jeff was making a sandwich. And he was like, wait, did you say Michael Coleman? He goes, not T. Michael Coleman. And that's how you know someone knows my dad is because they say his stage name is T. Michael Coleman. And I go, yeah. He goes, that's your dad? He goes, I go, yeah. He goes, I saw him play with Doc and Merle Watson in New York at the Bottom Line, blah, blah, blah. Because my dad's a Grammy-winning bluegrass musician. Yay.
Yeah.
And I go, Dad. Hi, Dad. He's probably watching.
Oh, that's cool.
He's my biggest
fan. Oh, we were cursing like a bunch of animals. I apologize, Mr. Coleman.
he does too.
Okay, fuck that. Then.
My dad's all a rock and roll. I mean, he plays
a rock and roll,
but he's a rock
guy,
and roll.
Dude.
But yeah, so Jeff and, you know, my dad was like, thank you for being so nice to my girl. And he was like, oh, she does great. Like, he's so nice.
That's
cool.
He
tweeted my dad.
Are you,
Come on.
Get some tips about Dumb and Dumber. I do know
that they're
too.
Making it. He told me, I guess
the
night.
Pictures. They tweeted pictures out.
Yes. And the night he won his Emmy, I talked to him and he was like, I go out tomorrow. Because I just met Jim randomly. And I was like, I just met Jim. And he was like, well, we go tomorrow. And I was
oh,
like,
man.
That's so exciting.
That's awesome.
So
what a fun ride you're having so far, too.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I hope it keeps going.
Yeah. So, so Casadega then comes out tomorrow.
Tomorrow on demand. And I'm not sure about, you know, check your local listings.
Okay.
But I think it's going to do probably select theaters and then hopefully get bigger, but definitely on demand and all of that.
Awesome.
Good stuff.
And the Newsroom is coming back or is on?
I think so. You know, I never know when I'm there unless I get a call, like, you know, the day before. Oh, you have a table tomorrow. Oh, thank you. So we'll see.
And then, so last question I have for you before we let you go is, so you've obviously done horror now, you've done the drama, you've done comedy. What is your, if you had your pick, if you could the next thing, what would you want to do?
The next thing I do?
No, I'm saying like if someone said your dream project, if someone said you could be in a great comedy, a great drama, a great sci-fi, like what would you want to do?
I think it's like picking children for me because I've always done.
Great
I've
job.
Been, I've been, ha- not been naturally doing comedy my entire life.
Yeah.
And then, but drama is work and it's you great, get to dive in. And I don't know, I think that I would love to actually do a romantic comedy, like a big, you know, Sandra Bullock, Julia Roberts type of big romantic comedy, but then I'd also love to do a really gritty, like, dirty, just hard drama.
Okay, whoa. There's too many guys listening to you right now in this room.
I didn't mean like
I'm
that.
I'm actually getting uncomfortable.
You're getting excited over there. Kellen, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, you're awesome.
You
good luck with everything.
Thank you.
Yes, and come back. Drink beer with us.
Yes.
Again,
I would love to.
Andy Signori, again, check him out on Screen Junkies. What do you got?
She wants to do celebrity impression.
Yes,
do you? Oh, you have
to.
Okay, you have to. Andy, again, thank you for joining us. You got to come back as well.
Andy, you're awesome.
Screen Junkies, Honest Trailers, Break Media, check
trailer
it out.
Really is
really
one
great.
Of my favorite things.
Guys, Schmoes No Movies, when we get back, Roy Abramson from Escape from Tomorrow is going to be in here. So that's very exciting as well. Schmoes No Movies.
Woo!
Yeah.
Let's take a pic.
Listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.
What's up, Toadheads? Hey, make sure you check out the Toad Hop store on ToadHopNetwork.com. It's a great way to support the network and helps continue to bring you quality programming.
Quality programming, my ass.
Can you see I'm recording, you a-hole?
So maybe you've got a great idea for a business and want to start selling your products or services online. Maybe you're an established business owner looking for new customers. Or maybe you're interested in starting a personal website. No matter who you are, GoDaddy wants to help you kick ass online. Right now, GoDaddy's offering .com domains for just $1.99. It's go time. Start your website today. Visit GoDaddy.com and enter promo code TOAD to get your $1.99.com or click on the GoDaddy graphic on the Toad Hop website. Some limitations apply. See website for details.
What's up, everyone? Sports Guru here. Sick of looking at the same old boring websites? Well, check out the new sportsguru.com for all the hottest trending videos and all the biggest sports news. Become a VIP for only $4.99 and get premium access to everything the Sports Guru has to offer. The beautiful gurus, girls, all my biggest sports picks, and much more. So get off that porn site and check out the new sportsguru.com.
To leave your house to shop, to crawl through traffic to the mall,
just to find the thing you wanted,
isn't even there at all.
Amazon.com is the answer.
Shop at home in style and ease.
Find exactly what you want.
Ordering your stuff's a breeze.
Books on tape.
Games galore. Everything you're looking for.
Kindle.
Cameras. Electronics.
Baby Einstein.
Hooked on Phonics.
Blu-ray.
Movies.
And TV.
Download.
Music.
MP3.
Pixar.
Disney. Microphone.
Pet supplies and doggy bones.
World of Warcraft.
Nancy Drew.
Sims.
The Scruff.
System 2.
Click Amazon.
You'll smile with glee.
Sometimes shipping's even free.
With GameFly, choose from over 6,000 titles. Play as long as you want and send them back when you're done. $8.95 to start, no late fees. GameFly.com, games delivered.
Live from the Toad Hop Network studios
in Hollywood,
this
is the ToadHopNetwork.com. Enhances the senses, opens your mind.
Radio worth watching.
Radio worth watching.
Bonnie.
Awesome. Sorry, we're just talking about my
Yeah, come on, Bonnie. Trying to think if we're going to get depressed. I feel like we're going to get depressed when we listen to this. That's okay. It's nice. Johnny, what are we listening
like
to here? Yeah, I like it too.
It's the soundtrack.
Which one is this? Serenity.
Serenity.
Oh. Very nice. Okay.
My ex, Nathan Fillion, was in
there. You know what? You brought that up. And we'll talk about it some other time.
We like Nathan Fillion.
We'll talk about some of them. All right. Guys, I want to. Schmoes No Movies podcast. So far, great, great show. Annie Signori was here. Kellen Coleman was here. Great guest as well. Before we get and introduce our next guest, which I cannot wait to talk to this guy, and it's a movie that I know a lot of you guys have been tweeting us about and writing on our YouTube channel about it. Have you seen The Escape from Tomorrow? We're going to talk about it very quick. Before I do that, I want to talk to you guys about Ripped Apparel. You know that we love Ripped Apparel. They sponsor us. They have great shirts every day. 24 hours, you can get a great shirt. If you type in the code, which the code is this month, SK Carry with a C based on the movie. If you type that in there, you get $1 off the shirt. It's really worth it. And you guys know, just type on the little icon on the bottom. You will you get a little discount there. Joined by Bonnie Somerville, our editor-in-chief, Mark Riley. Let us welcome to Schmoville, Roy Abramson. Roy, how are you, my friend?
I am fine, thank you.
It is very nice to have you here.
Yeah, it's nice to be here. Thanks.
What's crazy is that I just watched the movie today when we're talking about Escape from Tomorrow.
Yes.
And now Mark and I have seen the film. Mark and I have seen the film, and so I wanted to talk to you not only about, obviously all the questions you've been getting about the movie is how the hell did you guys do this, which has got to be the first question that you get, like how crazy it was.
Yeah, that's always the first question.
But so how did you do it?
Cut to the chase. How did you do it?
I'll start at the beginning. The director had this idea in his head to start and do this script that he wrote. He was a new director, and he wanted to do it himself with some friends. He grew up going to Orlando, visiting his divorced father, and his father would always take him to Disney World, kind of didn't know what to do with him, always took him there. Yeah. So he had this idea to write this movie and cast it with some friends and just shoot it. He was playing around with a camera called the Canon DL5, which enabled him to shoot video. And so he thought he was just going to kind of do it on the sly. And then it kind of grew. Then he realized his friends weren't good actors, he says. So he was going to cast some actors. He needed a casting director. And it pretty soon it grew until it became like he had to cast actors. And then other stuff came along with that. And so he took 9 trips to Disney World and Disneyland with his cinematographer before the shooting even started. So they
kind of map out the location.
They mapped out every
location
and they mapped out every lighting angle they had. They're talking about like compasses and I don't know.
Right, because you couldn't use lights, so they had to map out to see where the sun's going to hit at what time.
Whatever technical they did to get the sun. And then they realized the only thing they didn't account for is when we were shooting. You know, my nuclear family of husband, wife, and 2 kids on the film, they had to they didn't account for the time it took to go from one place in the park to the other. So they would actually, at one point when the kids got too tired of standing in line for rides or whatever, they had to get wheelchairs for the kids. The ADs and the production assistants who were in the park with us had to get wheelchairs to wheel the kids over, because the kids were like, you know, what are they, 5 and 7, I think, when we shot this. Okay. We shot it 3 years ago.
Wow.
That's when we started shooting. So they did 9 trips.
How long did it take overall?
We were in Disney World for, I think it was 11 days. And then we were in Disneyland for 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And then we came back here. We shot for a few weeks in Occidental Studios, downtown L.A., where we did all the green screen and all the, you know, there's a scientist section where sets were built.
Right. Yeah,
so there was, so it's like 80% in the park. In the parks, Disneyland, Disney World, and 20% in other locations. Other locations, like one day in Griffith Park, I remember we had.
Yeah.
We had a week in a hotel in the city of Azusa or near City of Industry or something.
Sure, yeah.
It doubled as the interior hotel room, and also the pool scene, which you remember.
Yeah.
That whole, you know, you couldn't bring a crane into Disney World.
That's what I was going to ask. That was crazy. Yeah,
That was a hotel that had palm trees around it. That was a weird night, I remember, because one time after shooting one day, I went to use the hot tub. I was like, it was like a long day of shooting. I went to use the hot tub, and there were some gang members that jumped the wall. like gang members.
Just
that
like Disneyland.
Yeah, right.
That were so scary, I remember. There were like 6 of them in the hot tub. I said, this is where I die. I really had the feeling. This is where
you're
I'm
like,
gonna...
wait, are they filming this?
They were talking in such a weird, like, prison lingo. Like, one of them, I realized, one of them had
it's
just,
like Oz.
I swear to God, one of them had just gotten out of prison. They were kind of like, this was his welcome home. They were. I want
to ask. Well,
they were like, and your present is this cute white guy in the hot tub.
I know.
Hey, we're gonna go party, dude. We gotta just jump this fence.
That's your welcome home gift, motherfucker.
That's exactly. Can we say that on air? Because that's what I thought was gonna happen. Yeah. I thought.
But
I was,
did you think you were on It's a Small World while it was happening? Were you like, I'm on now?
Well, yeah. I luckily was not raped. I actually did. I did the old.
I wasn't going to say that. I'm glad you did. I stopped
Thank
myself.
Thank God I was not raped by 7 prisoners. But I was.
Where's this hotel again? Because I'm
that
single.
That would have been a really
lonely.
Well, hello, Bonnie.
You are lonely.
Hello,
Bonnie is getting there. One of the things, though, again, that for those of you guys who are not familiar, what we're talking about, Escape from Tomorrow. It's a movie that's coming out tomorrow, and the movie is they guerrilla shot this film because Disney World, as you know, are not only tight with a lot of their properties.
You can't even get on a ride. You have to have, like, credentials.
Yeah,
it's so hard.
But this is shooting at their park. And what they did that was so smart.
Were you guys
smart.
Scared? Were you guys nervous about getting arrested?
Yes,
were
I was.
You,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. I mean, I auditioned for the movie. I get the part. And then he says right at the audition, are you okay? Well, you know where we're going to shoot this. Because I had heard about it. He said, you know, we're going to shoot this under wraps with no permits. He's a very quiet, shy guy. And he wasn't like, I mean, I got
a
very...
the brilliant ones. Always the brilliant ones.
Yeah, he's like a
well,
very...
that's not true, because I talk a lot, but that's okay.
Always the brilliant ones or the quiet ones. That's true.
So I could tell right away he wasn't one of these guys like, hey, man, we're going to go fuck Disney up. We're going to punk that. You know, it wasn't anything like that at all.
It was his mission to get his film made.
And I liked the scenes I was auditioning with, and I read the script, and even though I didn't really totally understand it, I kind of liked it. It seemed like... He hates when I say this, but it seemed like something you could imagine Ben Stiller doing, because it's like the guy that shit keeps happening
to. It's funny that you say that, because when I was watching, I got like a dark comedy in like a Twilight Zone setting.
Yes.
Is how I kind of felt the movie
it's
was.
David Lynchian. Twilight Zone-ish.
Yep.
It's like that. So, and it's black and white. So
yeah, and you have your Robin Williams shot in the first shot.
Amazing.
I know. I was like, when I saw that, I was like, I turned to my wife, who's in the studio here, Betsy, and I said, wow, man, I should have shaved my back. That was disgusting. I was just like, I want to throw up. I'm like, that's the opening shot.
Oh,
I'm like,
oh,
but to be honest with you, I thought it added to the character. I really
did.
Because the character.
Apparently, the hot tub guys loved it.
Yeah, it's true. Well, no, maybe they didn't.
Keep calling
maybe
me.
They didn't
keep
love it.
You're like, stop calling.
But no, the thing is, it added to your character. The character.
No,
he's not the greatest guy.
Not the greatest guy in the world.
No.
He's doing some things that are definitely wrong.
Excuse me. Yeah,
but that's a comment. I actually thought about that as you know. But your performance, I liked you.
Well,
even though it's kind of you're doing stuff in the movie where I'm like, that's not really good. But you brought some kind of.
Well, we seemed real. It's exactly what we're talking about with Kellen. It was a realness to the character.
Yeah.
Well, those are the best. I mean, for me, the people, you know, the unlikable characters that you fall in love with, like Tony Soprano. Like those are the characters.
I'm a Soprano fanatic. So,
I mean, that's what he did that nobody else could have done.
Well, so what? So what was it then? With I guess with the drawing from to. when you saw the characters, you guys couldn't even rehearse in the theme park. You had to rehearse at the hotel.
Yeah, we would rehearse the scene every day.
So cool.
Anyway, it was all planned out, and we rehearsed in the hotel room in the morning. And the director actually didn't have a sound guy at the time. He would put the sound on us because we were wearing lavalier mics. They were wired. He didn't want to use wireless mics because he thought it would fuck around with the park wireless stuff.
Yeah.
So he didn't want to get
smart.
Caught.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was attached to a little Olympus tape recorder in our pocket, and it was always on. And after a while, I was like, man, I'm going to the bathroom. And he's like, listen, I got to unplug this. So every time I go to the bathroom, I'd unplug it.
Lavaliers,
and then
yeah.
after a while, he caught on to that, and he was scared that he would lose sound. So he duct taped it so I could never undo it. So I'm like, it's like the whole shoot, I'm like peeing as quietly as I can.
Right. So that cut toe is actually, you actually cut your own toe, and they just filmed it, right?
The cut toe. Yeah, the cut toe. People seem to like that one.
It works. It's a good visual. There's a lot of cool visuals in it. It's very intriguing. I'll be completely honest with you, and I want to talk to you about it off air. I want you to explain some of it to me.
Yeah, one of the guys at Sundance who saw the movie, one of the first questions up, and I kind of like that. He goes like, what was that? Did that mean? I won't say higher when he was like, yeah. What did that
There's something
happen?
That happens that I don't. I'm going to ask you when we're off air what that was because I don't understand and I don't want to spoil it for them.
I'll try to explain. Yes. I had the same question, by the way, when I first saw the screening. I was like, I didn't get it.
Yeah.
So maybe
that's a sign of a good. I don't know. I like movies.
It's something
like
that's going to make you talk, and the movie is making people talk. Now, the question I have for you now in regards to Disney.
Oh, how do we get in and all that?
Yes.
I got to answer that again. But
yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, no, I wanted to get you back there because then that's also going to lead to if Disney came because apparently what I've heard is they haven't been coming after you guys the way you thought, and I have a theory of why, but I want to hear you first.
Yeah, I keep reading these theories of why, like a Huffington Post article or whatever. They all say like they didn't want to give it more publicity.
That's kind
of
what
that's basically
thought.
Like if we'll look like David versus Goliath or Goliath versus David,
right?
And
but they probably don't want people to figure out how you did it either, right?
Well, you know, everyone goes in there with cameras. And everyone puts their home videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
And the difference is this guy's
except for ours, Christian. We don't have our videos on YouTube.
Prisoners
in a hot tub with a video.
All right. We're going to have your shot at 9:30. So, Roy, please finish what you were saying with Disney. So, everyone's filming out there. Everyone's shooting. So that you guys were able to disguise that.
Well, you're kind of you're in a crowded park.
Right.
Everyone's got cameras. The cameramen were these typical. Thank you. Someone brought me water.
JTI.
I realize no one can see what I'm saying. Thank you.
JTI.
They can see.
Thank you. I'm going to drink the water.
Sorry.
There we go. We're walking around. Everyone's got cameras. And the thing is, the cameramen were either like behind us or in front of us if it was on a ride. We had two guys with these Canon DL5s.
Yeah.
And then they were like, you know, they'd be at a distance in the park or they'd be somewhere far away. You know, I didn't ever notice really where they – I knew they were there.
Right.
You know, if I was running through the park, this is where I'm running through the fireworks. And those fireworks are only go off at 9 at night. So it's darkness basically except for the fireworks. So – you're running and you're bumping into people that are actual patrons of the park.
Right.
Or you're, you know, occasionally I was a scene where I'm looking for my daughter in the park and I'm turning. I was actually
screaming for her, right?
Yeah, screaming. And I was.
Oh my God, people must have been so scared.
Yeah,
right?
It was kind of weird. I had to make sure I didn't scream too loud. There's one scream in the movie that I absolutely was like a Marcel Marceau. I was just screaming because I knew I would dub it later.
Yeah.
Because it was in a very crowded, bright area.
Cool.
Yeah, and wouldn't the security come?
Going up an escalator. Right. So I knew I couldn't scream that. And he told me just like mouth the word Sarah,
my
daughter's name.
Yeah.
So, but there were times I would pull her. I started doing stuff like I would turn around a girl in the park and say, Sarah, is that you? And the parents would look at me like, hey. You know, and I would just run away.
It was like punks you guys were doing that too.
I'm nervous hearing that.
I just
like, even as an actor.
You gotta watch it. That's what I'm saying.
I can't
it's so
wait to
fascinating
see
to watch it. And when you see, there's also another scene where you you're online with your son for this ride, and then they say you get the line, and then you're like, then the announcement comes over, it's closed, and you can tell that it's not really. It's if you really pay attention to it, that's not really closed. But he sells it, and you watch. But there were the people. Yeah. Some of the people were like, what the hell is that madman talking about? It's over because you're yelling and cursing.
Yeah,
and running
I cursed,
out of
and then I let. But the thing is, you can do that. Like there was that scene in the German land where I'm getting drunk.
Yes,
that was
a
fun scene to do because. You know, you are
everybody
in a restaurant,
and
we're having an argument. And the key is to have the argument enough that some security person doesn't come and go, hey, who are you? Why are you screaming the rest? You're kicked out of the park. And then your shooting is done for not only that day, but maybe the whole movie is ruined.
Right.
So there's always that thrill of like, shit, if I do this too much. But I remember dancing with the waitress. I'm supposed to be drunk, and my wife's supposed to be angry at me.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I was kind of trying to get her goat. And, you know, the waitress is there. They're Disney employees, you know, and they're mostly German girls.
Right.
Like they hire the people from those countries to to be realistic. So I remember doing that, and she was laughing. And then there was a scene where I was too drunk, like in that German scene. I remember doing like Nazi joke. Like I would stand up and go like Deutschland über alles, and yeah. I would, you know, we are the master race, and I was saying like faux Nazi-ish things, and you know, don't kill my, you know, I was just saying things that were too Nazi. And I remember the director coming up and going, all right, enough.
Tone it down.
You know, just no more Nazi. Stop the, you know what I mean?
Right.
Stop
so the Nazi. And I mean, and when I think about it, I realized I had nothing to lose. It sounds like, ooh, I did this dangerous thing. And it was thrilling and exciting, but I mean, what's the worst that could happen to me? I get
you're part
out.
Of the crew.
I leave, and then they, hey, please leave the park.
Right.
He's got the money riding on the movie. He put in a lot of money,
right? The thing is too, what I was curious about was, yeah, that you guys, you made sure, the director made sure that he took out, because clearly when you're on Small World, you're not playing music from It's a Small World.
That was the harder thing. You can't get rights to
rights,
music.
But, so that's my question. How do you get, you don't get the rights to the music, but yet you can show Cinderella, you can show Mickey Mouse, you can talk about
the
Mickey
balloons.
Mouse. How do you do that?
And Mickey
here's
balloons.
One of the theories, or there's an article in the New Yorker magazine that came out while we were in Sundance about this, and that deals with fair use.
Yes.
And there was a famous landmark case that had to do with Barbie dolls, that a guy made a movie with Barbie dolls, like a $15,000 little tiny ultra low budget film 15 years ago or whatever. And it went all the way to the Supreme Court. Mattel sued him. Mm-hmm. That you used our Barbie dolls in your little crappy movie. I don't know if it's crappy. Sorry about that. It's a tiny movie.
Right.
And they lost. Mattel lost this lawsuit because of something called fair use.
Yeah, like we deal with it all the time on our YouTube channel. Yeah, because we do reviews. We can use trailer
footage.
Yeah,
and if you take a picture with someone, you know, and it's in the background, what are they going to say? You can't show the picture.
Is it because you're at the theme park and you're at the park, so that's just part of the – you
the
paid your ticket?
Copyright for music is totally different.
Everyone got year passes to both parks, and that includes the camera guys. The mothers of the two children in the movie were always with them all the time. So, that you know, there was like, I don't know, you probably about 10 – year passes for 12 for everyone in the film at both parks.
Now, let me ask you a question. Can I ask you something? When you guys got all the way to Sundance, like, what was that feeling like? Was it just like, what the...
Right.
Like,
oh, did you ever think it was going to see the light of day?
That's still one of the meccas of a movie, still, even though people want to say it's not. You know.
No, it's like, I
for
was,
me, it's like...
I thought it would get in Cannes, because I thought Cannes, the French supposedly hate Disney. Like, they despise Disney. So I thought, wow, this is perfect for Cannes. It's black and white. I mean, this was done before The Artist came out, so... Mm-hmm. My first thought was, oh my God, Disney, this is never going to see the light of day at all anyway.
Right. Yeah.
Because it'll.
They're just going to shut it down.
Illegal.
Right.
And then he tells me, like, before we started shooting, we're going to do it in black and white. And I was like, black and white? No one. Like, I love it, but I'm a weird film guy who loves, like, Last Picture Show. And I'm like,
oh, it added to it so much. Movies. Right. Yeah.
And I go, black and what? But it's Disney, the colors. He goes, like, you know what? It adds, like, a weird dark
tone
to it.
Yeah.
And I remember telling my wife when I came out, I was like, oh man, now it's really never going to be seen. Like, I was just.
And this was before The Artist.
I was on unemployment. He asked me to be a lead in a movie. I've been here a long time in LA, and that doesn't happen every day. I mean, it wasn't really a big loss.
These are the stories
process.
That I just. Oh, I can't.
No, I was on unemployment. I have two kids. I'm like, how do I. You know, he was offering me a certain amount a day, which wasn't a huge amount, but.
Well, because I read an article about you too, because you said at the time we weren't working. And
I work periodically. I work probably more than most.
I want to hear what it was like when you found out you got.
But that's what. But that's where I'm going with it, because because what the article that I read said at the time you were in between jobs, and then you said, look,
starring.
I'm gonna have a chance to work on something fun.
Yeah.
Hey, you're gonna pay me whatever you're
for 6 weeks. I had 6 weeks originally on the movie.
So then you're here. You got accepted to this.
I get to do something exciting. I remember when we almost got caught, which is a story I'm sure you want to hear.
We got
very close to getting caught. I remember, anyway, I'll get to that.
But stop interrupting, Christian. Just let him
speak. Wait a minute. Me stop interrupting?
Shut up.
How many guys almost raped you in prison?
So we'll continue the interview. you were saying.
I was actually doing a play in Palm Springs, a two-person show at the Annenberg Center in Palm Springs. And it was a depressing week because I had booked a guest star on a kid's show, and I couldn't do it because I had already said yes to this play. It was an equity play. I couldn't. You know, you can't quit. You can't. There was no understudy. So I was like, I turned down a guest star on a TV show, and I was just depressed. I was driving all the way out to Palm Springs. I'd come in for an audition, like 2 hours, some crappy commercial audition, and I was back in Palm Springs, and he calls, and he goes, hey, Ren, and I hadn't heard from him in like a year, because I kept calling and going, why is this movie taking so long? And he would say, well, I'm waiting for the right composer. He's a guy I want. And as you saw the movie, yeah. it's beautiful music. This guy composed, a Single Man or a Madonna movie. What was it?
Which
Truth or Dare?
No. Which is the one? Riley got your computer on?
Yeah. The last, whatever.
We'll grab it.
He's a big deal now, but he was waiting for that composer. And he made some interesting, like, I was like, because it was almost 3 years later. So he calls and he says, I'm driving out to Palm Springs and I'm just getting into the center of town, like, oh God, I got to do this play. And he calls and he says, I hope you have a parka. And I go, what? He said, I hope you have a parka because we're going to Sundance. I was like, I just kept saying, are you fucking kidding me?
Right.
Are you fucking kidding? I kept saying that over and over.
Yeah.
Like, it was, I mean, look, I've been here 20 some years. It's a dream come true.
Right. Absolutely.
I have never been to a film festival before this. And I've never even been to one.
It's just such an amazing.
And you go to the granddaddy of them
all.
And
then you go there, and I swear to God, I know it sounds kind of pretentious, but it lived up to everything and more. My
lots
wife
of free
came
swag.
With
I hope your wife got nice
we
things.
We did. We went to gifting. And the director is very kind. He paid for a hotel for 2 weeks. I drove limos for
like, you're the star.
I have no money, so he says, I'll put you up at the hotel for 2 weeks. And then you realize, the way they show movies there is like everything's perfect. The screen is perfect. The print is perfect. And it was only one of seven movies that he said that Sundance actually had a film print of. So out of all the movies at Sundance, only seven were film prints.
Wow.
I think the one here at Sundance Sunset is one of the three film prints there are of this movie.
Yeah, because that's expensive transfer.
Yeah, they don't really do that.
They don't do that a lot.
So this one here in town, it's in Pasadena and also the Downtown Independent, but those are the whatever digital they
right.
show.
Right, so the movie is starting. It's going to be on demand.
Those stories, don't they just make you so happy, though?
I was reading about the film. I watched the film. And because when you're watching the movie, because you have that, because again, not only are you watching all the cool stuff that you know, the guerrilla filmmaking and what you have to do, but then you're watching Roy's performance and how
Harry my back. No,
yeah, no, but
you're Harry back.
But, oh, on that film print, it must have looked really
Robert
Harry.
I'm not Robin Williams. Yeah. I mean, but,
you have a double job here that you have to do. No. You're doing the job of the punked. You're doing punk to where you have to be careful. You're aware.
Yes, it was hard.
Yeah, and you also have to focus on your job and your character. So how hard was that to say, here's my role, here's the story, and I got to make sure I don't get caught?
Well, after the first week when we didn't get caught, everything kind of got easier for us. It never got easy. I found out later for the director. He was sweating from the minute.
Oh, sure.
His biggest fear was he's going to bring all these people here, shoot a day or two, and then be told, hey, what are you doing here? All of you go home.
Right.
His fear was that he would screw everyone over and they'd all committed to this movie and then they had to go home. I mean, the boy is from New York. He flew I remember saying to him when he cast this boy, I go, you had to get a kid from New York. There's not a child actor in LA. There's not one kid that's good. He goes, I like this kid.
Love that.
There's something about that kid. And it's like every choice the director made, whether it was music, black and white, that casting that kid.
Kid looks great with creepy black eyes too. He really does.
And by the way, Abel. Can you?
It's like Korzenjowski. Korzenjowski,
and it's a single man.
A single man. Yeah. The music.
That's amazing. Though he's like a true filmmaker that wanted what he wanted.
Yeah.
Didn't want to settle. Took 3 years to make it. I mean, those are the stories.
Down to the kid.
That people don't realize there are still people like that.
Well, when you hear that, Roy, though,
that is what's amazing is that this guy stuck to everything. Like I would say, like I follow these girls around in the movie, and there's one that's a little older, one's a little younger, and there were certain scenes that I said, can I have that scene with the older one so it's not so creepy? And he would look at me, he goes, Roy, I want it creepy. And I'm like, oh man, that was never going to be seen. You know what I mean? I would,
It was creepy.
Whatever, you know, I would fight him on certain things.
Yeah.
And, you know, after a while, you just go, you know what? This is his vision. It's his money. I got to shut up and just do the job.
But
Polanski, you know, he's just like.
Well, that's the thing. But you go back though, and you know, you say, so he waited for the composer. He took the kid from New York. When you think about that as an actor, that's got to make you feel even better. Like,
and he wanted me.
You know, like the fact.
You know, it didn't occur to me until I heard how much, because I never knew how much. I never asked those questions. How much did you spend on this? And then at one point, I heard the figure that he started with a budget of $200,000, and it ended up he had to edit it in Korea. He took three trips to Korea to go to editing house there.
Because he's trying to get away from Disney,
he didn't want anyone in a... he thought he had this vision of someone in a Burbank editing house going, you know, texting, oh, my God, you cannot believe what I'm cutting right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
Korea, that's pretty...
So he went to... It's
get the hell out of there.
It's also cheaper there. Not North Korea, just South Korea.
Wow, I mean, so that's... All right, so...
I want to go back to what you were saying about almost getting caught.
That's what I was
going to
say.
Because that, to me, was the thing that I kept thinking about. How?
Here's what happened.
And I know it's...
I'm trying to get this story down to like a couple minutes now. Yeah. I keep trying to shave off points of this.
So fascinating.
And not make it grow into a big lie. But what happened was we were, it was our last weekend of shooting in Disneyland. We had done Disney World. We were in Disneyland. We had shot for a few days. We came down for the next weekend. It was like a Thursday night. We checked in the hotels. And, you know, one room was just two costume girls in a room with all the wardrobe that we get every day. One room was wardrobe. One room was camera. And we check into the park at 9 a.m. and it was very sparse. You know, so there's barely anyone there at 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. And it was a scene that's not in the movie anymore, but we're entering the family entering the theme park. And, you know, you show your ID or you put your thumbprint. I can't remember which. And the camera member inside the park shooting back at us as we go through the turnstile. And we did it. And then AD, this guy, JD was our AD. He had a big goofy hat on. He would walk up. You know, he's kind of in disguise in his big hat. And he would come up to me and go, okay, now do it again. Make sure the boy's in front of you. Make sure the girl is right where. You know, it's like, just do it again. Like, we would do every shot 3-4 times.
It's like the CIA, man.
Sometimes 10 times. You know, and they would just come up and whisper. And we'd go out. So we went out. I came back in.
So great.
And a guy with a big smile comes up to me in a Disney badge. And he goes, hi, sir.
Oh, God.
Why did you come? Can I talk to you for a second? I'm like, oh, fuck. I saw the security. And he goes, why did you come in the park twice in 7 minutes? And I kind of went, wow. Like, my first thought was like, how do you know it was seven? Like, someone's watching this on a screen.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
You had it to the minute. And I went, well, I left the sunscreen outside and I forgot to put it on the kids. So we went out and put sunscreen on the kids and came back in. And as I started to walk away, he goes, excuse me, wait, sir. Are you a celebrity?
Oh.
And I said, and then I'm like, all of a sudden I went, kind of went to like bad actor mode.
Yeah.
So I was just like, and I'm looking at my fake, my movie wife going like, hey, honey, he thinks we're celebrity. Who do you think I am? Tom Cruise? You know, we're just like doing this bad acting. I remember thinking, God, that was a bad take. Can I do that again? You know, because it was like so over the top. Because I was really nervous at this point.
Yeah.
And he goes, I said, why do you think I'm a celebrity? And, you know, acting like a Midwest dad or something. And he goes, well, there's paparazzi following you around taking pictures
that's
of you. And
I was like,
oh, my God.
And, I was,
awesome.
And it took me a second to go, paparazzi.
Oh,
I was like, oh, she's talking about our camera guys. I look up to where I knew they were, and they were gone. They were just like disappeared. The director disappeared. Nobody's, everyone's like,
they left you.
Everyone
alone.
Went down the mouse hole. Yeah.
They said, he's good. He'll get out of it.
Yeah. So they just didn't know what to do. We hadn't really planned for this. Oddly enough,
that was my next question.
It's a good question, and maybe they had, but I forgot. But I didn't have a plan.
Yeah.
So we go in, and he says, "I want you to come with me, sir." And I said, "Well, why do you think I'm a celebrity?" And he said, "Well, because celebrities have a certain protocol. The way we take them through the park, like if Britney Spears goes to Disneyland, she doesn't go through like you or I do.
Right?
She goes through a special way, led through by security. Blah blah blah.
Underground tunnels.
Yeah. So we went
Kennedy
tunnel.
And
that's
Monroe.
My next.
Yeah.
So we went through the tunnel right there on the left when you go into Disneyland. And he said, "I want you to wait here. That's the firehouse where Walt Disney supposedly stayed while the whole thing was built and smoked. They said he smoked a lot, Walt Disney. Anyway, but he was the only one allowed to smoke there. So he says, wait right here and don't leave. And then I said, oh, shit. I'm saying to myself, oh, Christ, I have sound equipment on. I have the sound. I have the tape recorder, the wire. I have my ID, which is a different last name. I realized than my son's ID, than my wife's ID, than my daughter's.
Man.
We all have different last names.
Right.
Rodriguez, Dalton, Schuber, Abrams. I'm like, going like, okay, if he asks for IDs, then...
Meanwhile, this is Disneyland, folks. This is not the airport.
Disney
but
World, right?
Disney World. But you're just as scared as if you had, heroin strapped to you.
Right.
And I didn't even realize this was our last... Anyway, so he said, wait here. And I said, hey, can my son use the bathroom? And that way I knew I can get the sound equipment.
Yeah.
So he said, yes, but come right back out. I went in the bathroom. I took off the sound equipment my son and myself, and I put it... I didn't know where to put it. I was going to throw it away, and I look at the trash can. I remember my hand with the tape recorder, the trash can. Then I was like, oh, my God, we could have days of sound on this. Like, I could be ruining this guy's movie. So I didn't throw it away, and I didn't know where to put it. I was like, you know, I was thinking like the smuggling things I watch on Discovery Network.
Uh-oh.
It's these cool smuggling things, you know. Like, I could tape it to my – like, I didn't, but I have no
tape.
And
you remember what the gangsters in the pool told you to do.
Right.
That's right. My boyfriend's.
Hey, there's one place to put it, man. There's no fight.
You
got to
stick that shit up your ass, brother.
You better stick that right quick.
I'll never find it.
So I put it in my tube sock.
Okay.
I had these big dad tube socks. Mm-hmm. I took his off. I put it in his tube sock. And as we left – the AD in the goofy hat walks by me very fast as he's just walking by without even looking in my eyes. He goes, get out of the park, into the production van of the parking lot, get out of the park, into the production van. It's like a little mantra he was saying as he walked by me and the wife who had done the same thing in the bathroom. And he leaves And he's gone, and I go, and then a parade started, like the end of the Main Street parade was. I just remember a big goofy character coming near me, going like, "Hi, how you doing? Hi, I'm good," you know. And I was it was just surreal.
Surreal, yeah.
And I saw his back to me, and other security people were coming, and they weren't. He didn't have his eyes on me.
Right.
I turned to the wife, I gave her a nod, and we left the park. And when we got to the turnstiles, I knew we were free. And then we just ran as fast as we could to the production van. It's a far walk,
right?
I'm like dragging this poor kid with me. I'm he's like bounding off the ground, like one step every time. And we got on the production van.
And you're like, couldn't you have been from L.A.? Did you have to be a New York actor? Come on,
Dad.
So and he was, he's the kind of kid who just want to ride rides all
the
time.
Right.
Like if you rode a ride more than twice, he's like, do we have to again? Anyway, we get in the van. We look out the back window, this little square window of this, like a white van, moving van. And I remember looking out and seeing a guy who looked like a gardener. And he was just like looking at, staring at the back of the van. He took out a paper and a pencil and started writing down the license plate.
Geez.
And he also, then he put his hand up to his ear and started talking to his earpiece. Like he was an undercover. Like,
wow.
And that kind of, that really, I remember looking over at Randy, the director, and he was just like, he was like, oh, and I go, what do we do now? He goes, everyone go back to the hotel, which we just checked into. And he says, check out, go back to L.A.
Oh, wow. So he's filmed at Disneyland?
And I was bummed. I was we just checked
in.
I go, can I take a hot tub? He's like, no.
Oh.
Go
back. You're in that hot tub.
Yeah, I know. I like the hot tub.
That was your, and that, so that was,
it's me in the hot tub.
Yeah, that was your last day at Disney World.
That was my last Disneyland this afternoon.
Oh, that was Disneyland.
Disneyland.
So how did you say, and then that was done then? What did you guys shoot again?
There were 3 days more shooting, and somehow they covered those shots in different ways. They changed things around. They covered them in different ways. They shot them green screen. So then we went to the studio downtown and other locations and did green screen and other stuff.
So they made the production. And so it was like, okay, we can't go back.
Yeah. Actually, they went back with the French girls in the movie that play the French girls because they were not part of that day. So there was they couldn't look them up on a computer. So I think they went back once or twice a couple months later to do other pickup shots and B-roll stuff. But no, they didn't. I never went back. The family never went back. Then.
Guys, so, I mean, how about that? I mean, you just listening to those stories for a half an hour. Holy crap.
It's a lot more fun than a commercial.
The making of sounds like a movie.
Yeah, seriously. And the fans have been tweeting that out religiously that the making of this movie should be a movie. Check it out, guys. It is Escape from Tomorrow. It
I'm
is
so
going
happy
to be on demand.
You.
Limited theaters. Roy Abramson, congratulations on all the success of the film.
Thank you so much.
And very happy to have you in studio. Thank you so much
for
having us. Guys, again, check out the movie. Schmoes No Movies. We will be back in just a little bit for the much anticipated Bonnie Somerville Q&A session.
Now I'm going to get laryngitis.
I know.
Listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.
What's up, Toadheads? Hey, make sure you check out the Toad Hop store on ToadHopNetwork.com. It's a great way to support the network and helps continue to bring you quality programming.
Quality programming, my ass.
Can you see I'm recording you? Oh!
So maybe you've got a great idea for a business and want to start selling your products or services online. Maybe you're an established business owner looking for new customers. Or maybe you're interested in starting a personal website. No matter who you are, GoDaddy wants to help you kick ass online. Right now, GoDaddy's offering .com domains for just $1.99. It's go time. Start your website today. Visit GoDaddy.com and enter promo code TOAD to get your $1.99.com or click on the GoDaddy graphic on the Toad Hop website. Some limitations apply. See website for details.
What's up, everyone? Sports Guru here. Sick of looking at the same old boring websites? Well, check out the new sportsguru.com for all the hottest trending videos and all the biggest sports news. Become a VIP for only $4.99 and get premium access to everything the Sports Guru has to offer. The beautiful gurus, girls, all my biggest sports picks, and much more. So get off that porn site and check out the new sportsguru.com.
Is that hunk of junk you call a car always breaking down and leaving you in the dust? Log on to Dyson-Motors.com and check out Dyson's full inventory online. With hundreds of quality cars in stock of all makes and models, you can find the next car of your dreams in minutes. And know you're getting super low pricing. Purchase a car today from Dyson Motors and receive a year of free oil changes. Bad credit? Worried about financing? Log on and get pre-approved in seconds. Go to Dyson-Motors.com and find your new car today.
To leave your house to shop, to crawl through traffic to the mall,
just to find the thing you wanted,
isn't even there at all.
Amazon.com is the answer.
Shop at home in style and ease.
Find exactly what you want.
Ordering your stuff's a breeze.
Books on tape.
Games galore. Everything you're looking for.
Kindle.
Cameras. Electronics.
Baby Einstein.
Hooked on Phonics.
Blu-ray.
Movies.
And TV.
Download.
Music.
MP3.
Pixar.
Disney.
Microphones.
Pet supplies and doggy bones.
World of Warcraft.
Nancy Drew.
Sims.
The Scruff.
System 2.
Click Amazon.
You'll smile with glee.
Sometimes shipping's even free.
With GameFly, choose from over 6,000 titles. Play as long as you want and send them back when you're done. $8.95 to start, no late fees. GameFly.com, games delivered.
You're listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.
Let it go.
What's this
let
from?
Let it go, let it go. That's right, guys. I'm playing this song right now because it is the, look, the video that we put up, Christian Harloff vs. Bonnie Somerville on Schmo Plus, got a, like 2,000 views. Bonnie came in here and did a lot of opening up, stuff that I necessarily didn't want talked about. She did, and you guys are gonna have, you guys had a whole bunch of questions that you threw up on the Q&A, and the agreement I made with Bonnie that she asked me to do, and I said yes, was that because she didn't want me to be able to chime in, so Ken is going to ask all the questions. I'm going to stand in the back.
You can't be quiet that long. There's no...
Well, I'm going to come
back.
I
love
it. I'll come back.
I don't think...
There's a microphone that's empty next to me.
I'm
going to
stand back.
Your head might blow up.
But before I do that, I wanted to talk to you guys real quick. I've been talking about the last couple of weeks, and that is about my buddy Kevin Barringer, who's doing the boxing boot camp, and you guys have been checking it out. A lot of you guys have been going to Indigo, I-N-D-I-E-G. GOGO.com. You raise money so he can open up a fitness gym. And the guy, again, he worked me out for a while. This guy, he was so awesome. And Bonnie, I know you boxed for a little bit too. He was,
I love it.
He's so good.
Box your ears.
Yeah, that's right. And so just go to INDIEGOGO.com and type in body boxing bootcamp in the search bar. You can also go to www.3bbootcamp.com. Check him out and go see the kind of ass kicking this guy does. He's awesome. It's worth it. And now I'm going to start to sweat. But what I will do is, Ken, you're going to take the mic here. Like I promised, you guys asked a whole bunch of questions to Bonnie over the last couple of days and pictures. And Riley is checking the picture that we posted today. If there's any more questions, that I'll take that. I'm going to need that beer. So I'm going to go on my personal account on Christian Harloff, and I will be tweeting as I hear this. God knows what is going to be said. I've seen some of the questions that are coming here. All right. Ready, Ken?
Right. Oh, my God. He's so nervous. It'll be okay. I'll go easy. Easy on you.
Well, it must be hard on you, though, because you're getting a lot of questions that you might not want to answer.
Well, you know.
Right? And I'm here to make sure that everybody plays nice. I don't know that. Yeah. Not really. Right. No. Who fucking cares?
Who
Let's
fucking
go.
Cares?
Let's do this.
Seriously. Who are we kidding?
Hello, buddy.
Hello, boys. Hello, boys.
Welcome to Inside the Schmo Studio.
No,
I have my cards here.
Oh, I love this.
What is your favorite color?
Oh, really?
Now, what curse word best describes you, buddy?
Douche.
That's
just my favorite curse word.
Excellent.
That's my favorite curse word.
Schmoville's been, they got a lot of questions. I got a lot of them printed out here. So we got a lot. We got the wild man, Christian Harloff, in the back, tweeting nervously.
Yeah.
Look at him, he's pacing. He can't even sit still.
So Riley's going to, you're kind of mediating? Is that what's going on?
I'm mediating, yeah. I come from a long line of mediators. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're going to play nice. We're going to compromise.
Clan Riley.
You're going to answer.
Clan Riley.
Everything.
Ask me anything you want to.
Clan Riley.
I want to hear your answers.
Answer.
Okay. Bonnie, first question. All right. This is from Anthony Delorme. And he says, since you're young, What kind of movie genres would you like to act in or be associated with in the future? Sci-fi? Action? Comedy? Etc.
What would I like to be more? I think I've done a lot of comedy. I haven't done as many drama films as I think I've done way more comedy. So I would love to do some real and sci-fi. And I would love to kick ass in real life, like play like an action, like play like a serious badass.
So like a sci-fi like Gravity or like sci-fi like Christian's Star like, Wars.
Christian's like who? Katie Zacco? I mean, I literally hear him in the back of my brain saying, no, "I'm kidding."
He's nodding.
I would like to just be like, Angelina Jolie, and you know, she's taking it a little bit too much, but I would just love to get kick ass in something. And,
yeah.
Okay.
I like that.
Okay,
that's a good answer.
We can maybe work on an action
train.
Spec script.
Yeah,
let's work on an action
I have
spec
a lot
script.
Of
get Bonnie attached.
Yes,
that's good. We'll go film it for real in Knott's Berry Farm.
no one's ever had an idea like that.
Yeah,
before.
You want to meet some gang members? all right, Anthony Guivas. I'm going to say every name wrong on purpose. He asks, "How does an actress / actor continue to stay positive and persevere through all the bumps on the Hollywood road? It's Hollywood, baby. What's your dream?
What's your dream? Everybody's got a dream." No, that's a good question. It's hard, I have to say. It's very hard. There are days that are, I'm like, why do I do this after my 15th canceled show and, you know, 40-something screen test that I don't get? You know, it's hard. And then there are days when you just say, I'm so lucky to be doing this, and you still have that attitude that the nice, young, lovely Kellen Coleman still has because she's not bitter and jaded, table for one. But there are days, weeks that it is really hard, I have to say. I'm just pure, just bummed.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to compare yourself to other people because that's the kiss of death.
Right. Yeah, I've tried. I compare myself to Macuga every week. I go home alone every night.
Aww.
But
he doesn't have those baby blues.
What gets you up in the morning to hit the bricks?
Viagra?
Absolutely. That seems
that's an interesting thing that works
with
females.
Needing to work. I mean, it's what I do. I've done it so long. What else can I do? I can't really do much else at this point, but I love it so much.
That's something I kind of subscribe to, right? I mean, you're in it, you're doing it. You've been doing it for so long. It's like, now what else am I going
to
do?
Seriously, my mom once said to me, I was in between shows and I was doing a lot of charity work, which I do. And she's like, can't you just like get a job, like a part-time job or something? I was like, what?
Wait, is your mom, are we brother and sister?
Yeah, I think
that sounds
so. Yeah.
Really
and I was
weird.
Like, what do you mean? I just came off a TV show. She's like, yeah, but what do you do in between? Like, can't you get a job? I'm like, this is my job.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, are you going to go, like, you know, be a barista at Starbucks and then get the next show?
I did that. I did all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you stay in your corner.
Oh, please. Simmer down, Harloff.
Another question. This comes from Oscar Tarbush, who's been very active on the Twitter feed tonight. Oscar, we appreciate your tweets.
Hi, Oscar.
He asks, if you could work with one director that you've always wanted to collaborate with, who would it be?
Oh, man, that's such a good question.
Answer is George Lucas. Move on.
No. At this point, honestly, I would love... Robert Redford, I love his direction. I know nobody's going to agree with me, but I just think he's cinematically, he's gorgeous. But I would love to work with like Ben Affleck right now. I mean, who knew?
Right.
Like, I think he's,
hell yeah.
I think he's kicking butt.
Yeah.
And George Clooney, I think, is a great director.
Right.
And not
absolutely.
Because I want to sleep with these guys. Okay. Get your mind out of the gutter.
Clooney.
That was my next question.
Harloff.
Do you want to sleep with Ben Affleck?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Move on, Ken. There we go. That was easy.
Logan Gray asks, is this a sex tape?
Is this a sex tape right now, what we're doing?
No.
Is there a sex tape?
You mean
does a sex tape in the world exist of people?
Mark Ellis and you have been referencing
the tape.
Some
no one
video.
Said anything about sex. I mean, we could have been...
There was a tape.
Maybe
I mean, there's been mention of a tape.
They're clarifying.
I don't know.
Okay, here's a great question. Mm-hmm. You were on the television program Friends on NBC.
Mm-hmm.
And Morten Garberg asks, if you,
Bonnie Somerville,
not Mona. Not your character,
hang on,
Mona.
Let me just...
if you, Bon Somerville, could pick who you would date, Ross, Joey Chandler, or Gunther, who would it be?
Gunther, for sure. Come on.
Gunther. I love throwing
make
Gunther
those
in.
Make sweet, frothy lattes.
Poor guy didn't get any action on that show.
I know.
Here's a question from Maria Gulpez. She asks, do you like Dane Cook or ever dated someone who looked like him?
I hate Dane Cook and maybe,
hate
accidentally.
Hate's
maybe.
A passionate word.
Maybe.
Hate. No, okay. I don't hate Dane Cook. No,
okay.
And when you say accidentally dated...
Like maybe blackout drunk or something?
Oh,
I
see.
Know.
Okay, I got it. Good question. Good question.
Why are you guys... Jeez.
No, I'm just mediating here. I'm just devil's advocate.
I don't mean I hate Dane Cook. That was a joke.
Oh, well, I hate Dane Cook.
Oh.
Okay. Sam Porter asks, can you choose one role that you are most proud of?
God. I really liked the role I just did on Golden Boy. It was such a great job. I mean, it was like the lead detective. She was awesome, strong. But, you know, I also loved Kitchen Confidential, the show I did with Bradley Cooper. Oh, yeah. I mean, I was so proud of that. It was one of the best comedies.
Did you get to meet Anthony Bourdain during that at all? How is that guy?
Awesome.
I love Anthony
He's exactly
Bourdain.
What you think.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That is
too
a guy.
Cool for
I want to go have a pint.
Have his life, right?
I want to have a pint and like some teepee in Wyoming with him.
Yeah.
Like,
or Nepal, what? Or you know, wherever. Well,
I have no idea who you're talking about.
Anthony Bourdain,
the chef.
No,
No. I don't. Yeah, no.
great.
Sorry,
great research for Bonnie.
Yeah,
Somerville.
Thanks a lot. Thanks
my
for
research
caring.
Is that she's my godmother with me. That's my research. What's up?
What's up?
Yeah, I don't need to research this.
Shauna Alvito asks, could you give us some details about you and Christian Harloff's relationship? Obviously, you're still friends. What kind of relationship was it?
He's a doll. I love him. He's one of my BFFs. I am godmother to his child, so clearly we're friends.
Yeah.
Right. We have a long history. Hey, come on.
Hey, yeah.
Come on.
He seems fine. I mean,
look at him. He's like, he hasn't said a word.
He's vibrating.
I've never seen
is
him
what is
this
happening.
Quiet,
mm-hmm.
by the way.
Yeah.
Ever.
Would you like to play any historical figures?
Any. All. I'm a historical. I'm a history
Abraham Lincoln?
Nut. I'll do it. I'll take it.
Have you come close at all before?
No. And you know what? That's such a great question because I am a medieval history buff. I was a history major. I'm obsessed with
That's cool.
No one's made a movie about Eleanor of Aquitaine, who I think is one of the most amazing. I mean, she was.
Was she a Templar knight?
No. But it was before that. But she was married to Henry II. They had 12 kids. She was a queen twice. She had a big divorce from. I mean, like, she was one of the most amazing modern, at the time, feminine, and no one's done anything. And I'm like, hello, I'm here. I know
what I'm talking. That's our script right there.
An action script about that character.
She actually went on crusade with her first husband, which was unheard of, and divorced him for a much younger man.
There we go.
Henry II, who was one of the greatest rulers of all time.
We just add a little bit of love drama. It's a medieval rom-com action adventure.
Yeah. This is you can have some
amazing.
Footage.
Go picture, kid.
That's a good go picture.
I'll give you some footage for some tapes I have laying around. Hey,
oh, perfect. Whoa, hey, yeah, your screen test is already in a bag. Get away from
details. I have to know.
No.
I got to know something. Because I have one idea. I've been thinking about it. I have one idea, and I'm pretty sure that the video that I'm thinking of, I remember deleting. That's what I'm saying.
Well, you're not that good with electronics.
Whatever. I remember deleting.
Was this video, I'm asking myself.
It was like we did the horror at a wedding. Come on, let's move on. Let's go.
Oh, okay.
Do you at any point answer a cell phone in the middle of it? No.
I know what you mean. That's funny.
Here's a great question from someone named Shahan Chiranjan. It's Bobby Finn stuck in a cinnamon. cinnamon. Did I say cinnamon?
Cinnamon.
Which do you enjoy more, singing? You were in the Garden State soundtrack.
Yes.
It popped up on my iTunes the other day. I took a picture and tweeted it.
That was awesome.
Do you enjoy singing or acting more? And you cannot say both.
Ooh. Ha.
Probably acting, I guess. It's such a hard acting.
Right.
Okay. At this point in my life. At one point it was a different answer, but I've been acting and have had much more success.
So
with it.
Gun to your head, you're going acting.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Well, is there a hot tub? Are there inmates involved?
Let's be honest.
Can I get sex out of it? That's all big. I have to ask.
Let's say there is a hot tub involved. There is sex with inmates.
Prison.
There is jumping over fences and a gun to your head. Acting. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Only in that scenario.
Only in that scenario, though.
See what I did there? I just switched all.
Yeah, no, I like it. I got it.
Thanks.
Samantha Nevis asks, this is a great question. I mean, taking in your career and your music and all the stuff we've been talking about. Samantha asks, did Christian have big or small hands?
Christian has very big eyes.
Right. Would you say they're
nice
like
big brown?
Thank
what,
you.
The circumference is what, like eight and a half inches or what?
Like two beer cans, you know, like two.
That's a lot of girth.
we're talking about hands. Okay.
Oh, I see. Yeah, mitts. I like to call them mitts.
Mitts. Yeah.
Tyler,
we call them Mitch in Brooklyn. Yeah.
Hey, Tyler Myers asks. Tyler, and let's start being honest here, Bonnie.
Oh, I have what?
Bonnie, let's pretend you're on my show, The Knapsack Files, where I get honesty from my guests. Tyler Myers asks, did any of the guys from Friends ever hit on you?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's all you'll say.
Yes. Oop. That's all I'll say. Okay. But that's true.
Okay.
I know it's David Schwimmer.
Come on.
Come on.
Alex Bivens asks, is David Schwimmer a tool? And I'm not going to ask that question.
No.
But that
so
strikes
nice.
Him. Well, he comes across as so nice and so
coolest
honest.
Guy. He actually directed three of the episodes I did. And I think I think he's, talk about good comedy.
I enjoyed him in the motion picture, The Pallbearer, with Gwyneth Paltrow.
I did too. Yeah.
Mark Aquino asks, do you like Doctor Who? He is a Time Lord.
Yeah, kind of. Not my favorite, but he is. I like the time travel stuff.
Jose Espinoza asks, what is the story between you and Christian? Please explain. Give details.
I don't know what. What did now, we this not is cover for this question?
Posterity now. So
we're BFFs.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's sweating and? Like she's at Buffalo Wild Wings at midnight.
Oh, God. Like I was last podcast. I don't even remember much of that. I mean, I was so embarrassed.
There
actually,
was not
who am I
a
kidding?
Of,
I don't give a shit. What are we talking about here?
But so the details.
No
details. They're not details now.
What do you mean?
You are on the podcast
here
tonight.
I am.
And you are the godmother.
I'm a godmother, so he must love me.
So
clearly.
You've met his wife?
His wife's one of my best friends.
Oh, okay, right.
She's gorgeous. Have you seen her?
I have seen her. I've met her once or twice.
Sadie's come on the show and yelled at me.
Yeah.
Sadie yelling at people? No. Come on.
All right.
She might yell more than I do.
Special
that's possible.
Question.
Might be.
Special question. How did you get started in show business?
Oh, God. I originally, well, that's all I ever wanted to do, ever. Mm. But my very first kind of thing was I was singing in a band when I was 17 at a place called the Cadillac Bar on the West Side Highway with my high school band, and there were some guys sitting upstairs having dinner, and one of them was Bob Gaudio, who was the piano player for the Four Seasons, and heard me do Janis Joplin and came downstairs and said, who is singing? And my mother was there and we were all there, and he said, I would love to meet with your daughter and talk to her. So I ended up doing music for 2 years with him and had a little development deal with RCA that didn't work out, but that was the first little tiny bite I ever had. And then I did extra work and waited tables for 5 years.
And I've heard her sing Janis Joplin live, folks, and it is, I endorse it.
Thank you.
I endorse it.
It's on YouTube if you guys want to see it.
I saw it live in person at Room 5.
Thank you.
Two more questions here. All right. Do you think independent films, this is from Daniel Mousley, do you think independent films have more chances to be made and be a hit as compared to the last decade?
Now?
Now. Do you
think
now?
It's harder now.
Harder now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even now I go out.
Independent movies?
Yeah. I mean, this guy's story, Roy Abramson, I mean, this.
That doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen. I mean, Garden State, obviously, that I was on the soundtrack, and that was like a huge win at the time. But
sure.
Now I go out for independent films, and I literally get told, just so you know, they have offers out to so-and-so, and I'm like, why am I even going? I mean, it's unbelievable.
Like offers, like to somebody bigger?
They'll offer it to five people, and then they'll see the girls that are – and it's just like, wow, you know, actually that used to be a really, really strong venue to get to do movies.
Yeah.
And now it's – even that is just so hard to get
in. Well, I feel like the independent movies now have the big budget stars.
Yeah.
You know
well,
what
how
I mean?
Is it an independent if they're getting all these famous people? I don't understand that.
I don't either.
Don't
we had this conversation about Sundance after the podcast last time, right? We were
do
talking.
Do not forget, the biggest independent movie in history is a little film called The Phantom Menace.
Yeah. Well, if you want to go also, though, Halloween was an independent movie and at the time made lot of money.
I've never
seen it. A lot of money. Yeah.
I love this guy's story.
Final question.
It's really inspiring.
Bonnie, I want to thank you for coming on the Schmoes Know.
Thanks for having me. You know I love you guys.
The Schmoes Know
I've
studio.
Been inside Schmoes before. Whoa.
Whoa. Hey.
Wow. That sounds like a reversal of fortunes for that gentleman. Final question. After the first time, what was the level of regret on your part?
On a scale of one to, like, the government being shut down?
Yeah.
Past the government being shut down? Nuclear war?
Maybe government shut down. I don't know. That's a lie. I love you. I love everyone. I'm just a nice girl. I'm really sweet and nice. You guys make me sound mean.
No, you're not.
Damn it.
All right. Thank you so much. I apologize to everyone for messing up your names. Just blame JTI.
No, JTI, I love you. You remember that I need ice in my drinks.
All right. You're Bonnie, I apologize for the two CNN reporters.
God, Ken, Jesus.
I kid. It was
the two CNN reporters. They just, fuck you.
Yeah, thank you. good retort. All right, guys, that was hard to do. I'm not going to lie. Bonnie.
That wasn't bad for you,
Oh, my God, you're
though,
exhausted.
Right?
You are so exhausted.
There was nothing major.
Well, I didn't say anything. We have lots of tapes. I have tapes from your wedding.
No,
we've been dancing around.
But here's the thing. And I appreciate.
I could be lying. You don't know. What do you know?
Because there's
you know nothing.
Because there's the thing that I remembered after, like, and because the thing is, after you mentioned it, because it came out of nowhere, and I thought about it, and I wanted to talk to you about it real quick, because they keep asking about it. Leanne, the queen of Schmoville Photoshop, had made a video about it. And Ellis has told me that you have told him about it and that he's going to see it
really
soon.
That little shit. I'll kick his ass.
So I just want to know, is it the one that I think it is movie related? Couch movie related? Yeah, you're playing hard to get. All right. Okay, guys. So
listen, a girl's got to eat. You know what I mean? Come on.
What is that? Yeah. Well, you're not going to eat money. You can eat beef jerky at Ralph.
how does that?
I don't know.
But.
I have to think about it.
All right. Okay, no, well, basically, yeah. I know how she. I know how she works, and I know, by the way, she's also my wife. Also, okayed it, by the way, to show it. So that's going to be a lot
Whoa,
of fun. Yeah. So
really.
Yeah. Anyway, so
it can't be that bad, right?
Yeah.
All right. Guys, listen, we had a fun show. Together. We had a fun
this
show.
This was so fun. Was I well behaved? Was I?
Yeah, you were good tonight. Was I good?
You were too well behaved.
I was, right?
I didn't like it.
Really?
I wanted you.
No,
more off
to
the rails.
Go like full throttle.
No, you were great tonight. We had a lot of great
this guy,
guests.
Honestly, I love this guy. Was awesome.
It was that every
what a great
Kellen
story.
Kelly
was amazing. Like, how great was she? The
Andy
stories.
Signore. We had great guests tonight, guys. And again, you can go back and what you should do. What I love, Schmoville. I know you guys. Even if you're watching right now on Toad Hop, one of the things that is really important is the iTunes. Download it. Comment. Throw a rating. Even if you've listened to it, it helps the show. It supports. It helps us get guests like we had tonight. That really, like, to say where we go in the iTunes countdown and our numbers and our ratings, how, because of you guys. You guys are the reasons we're getting all these awesome guests. So please do that. Download it on iTunes. Comment. There is a couple. Ken, in next couple seconds, would you just look up a few of the guests that are coming in so I can announce them. Now, what we've been doing with Schmoville. You guys have been reviewing the podcast episodes. You've been doing it great. There are a lot of really great ones. And the reason why, in a couple of weeks, we're going to announce that a winner is going to actually come in here and give the members of Schmoville a quiz on the anything, to see who the ultimate fan is. And you will have a segment. You can call in if you win, if you live far away. If you're in the local area, you can come in. It's going to be pretty, pretty interesting. You guys keep doing it. Submit it. We'll put it in the playlist. It's a lot of fun. And now I want to talk real quick about Meet the Schmoes.
Yes.
It's on Schmo Plus. What it has been. Bonnie, if you haven't seen this.
The latest episode
it's
is
really funny.
Fantastic.
What we've been doing is JTI will go to all of the Schmo members and kind of give a profile of them. And the audience, the Schmoville has been loving it. He did a great one on Riley, Makuga, Ken. Finstock was a great one. And now there's a really great one of JTI. And the latest one.
JTI.
Go to YouTube.com.
I'm going to go right now.
Yeah. /Schmo Plus and check it out. Bonnie, I'm just going to ask. You can be honest. Yes or no?
What?
Not anymore this shit. If JTI wanted to do a Meet the Schmoes Bonnie Somerville, would you let him do it?
Definitely. Look at that face.
Oh, my God. There we go.
All right. So I'll meet the Schmo.
I'm going to pinch his cheek.
So there you go. So make sure you go there. And here is a list of upcoming guests that we have.
Yes, the guests.
Coming up. Upcoming on October 17th. How cool is this? Clifton Collins Jr. is coming on.
Him.
That's awesome.
This dude, man, has been in everything.
Everything.
And he's from Traffic.
Such a good actor. That's
Pacific
one of my favorite movies.
He was great.
So good.
Rim.
I cannot wait to talk to him, as well as Jason Horton, big YouTube guy. October 24th, we have Tim Dowling, who's a writer on.
That's my buddy.
Your buddy. He's a writer on a whole bunch of different projects.
Yeah,
he's working with Chris Columbus right now.
Yeah, he's working with Chris Columbus. He wrote the Midnight Run sequel.
Wow, that's
hired
cool.
by De Niro himself. So he's going to talk about that.
That'll be cool. Then
do
October,
you want to hear my Charles Grodin impression?
Sure.
I'm not saying I'm your accountant. If I was your accountant, I'm not saying I'm your accountant. But if I was your accountant,
wait. So
thank you.
I have to tell you, that was a pretty good impression.
Thanks, Gary.
October 31st, Jenna Sims of the movie Las Vegas comes in. So a lot of guests coming up. And again, you guys are making this possible by going to iTunes and checking out the comments and ratings for the Schmoes Know podcast. And guys, really fun show. JTI, how'd you feel about it? You happy?
Yeah, it was great.
Yay!
Yeah, good. Thanks. Thanks for the input. Ken Nassau, the Pit Boss, Johnny Ice, the man. Mark Riley.
Ken, I love you.
Bonnie Somerville was very behaved tonight, and I'm still trying to figure out if I liked it or not. I don't know.
What? I can't win. I'm damned if I do. I'm damned if I don't.
Damned if I don't. Guys, it is...
You're just so great. Oh, God, it's been so great.
This was really fun. Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, it was good. Bonnie, you come
back
soon.
Love you all out there.
Tiffany Smith, Mark Ellis will be back soon. I believe Mark is in D.C. at the Improv this weekend. If you're there, go check him out. He's a very funny comedian. He's my best bud, so check that out. Yeah. All right, guys. Fun show tonight. Really happy. And we're going to take you out with a great song from the movie Rad, 1985.
Yeah.
Time to break the ice.
She's
right?
Taking out the rat.
Johnny
on the
Ice.
Early.
Peace out, mother effs. Edges of everything we feel. It's going to take all we've got just to make it through this night. Gotta feel it right through my skin. And it's cutting like a knife.
Listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.